The radio show that knows truth is always stranger than fiction.
Week Monday, I get shoes.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Because they're too real to be part of my imagination.
On Talk Radio.
My new favourite band, that's their Christmas song, Home Alone, comma, 2-0-0.
Ha.
See? So it's like double clever. That only came out, they only dropped that yesterday. Dropped it. That's brilliant. Ah, oh, man, I like them. Yeah, I am. I heard one of their songs on Six Music. It's called White Teeth or something, Teeth Whitened or something. And it was one of those songs, I couldn't work out if I liked it or not. I kept thinking, oh, I think I like this. Actually, I don't think I do like it. And very rarely does a song have that kind of tussle going on, and by the end of it I thought, no, I think I loved it. I was straight in with it.
I thought it was great. There's something about family bands with sisters
voices.
Singing together is
Beach Boys, just the voices, great. There's the DNA, man. There's the vocal blend. Anyway, it's the Staves. They're brilliant. I've tweeted them to see if they come on the show. I don't know if they will. I don't know. We can, but you can all tweet them at the Staves and ask them in a very polite, respectful way to come on this show, please, at the Staves. Just send them, say that yesterday we spoke about them a lot. We're going to be speaking about them all next week. God damn it! Because there was just moments in that song. First time I've heard that, by the way. I just took a punt and thought, I bet it was a joy. Hairs up on my arms and on the back of my neck. And those harmonies, man, that's intricate shiz. Balls. Right, okay.
Oh, what?
No. We had a... okay, I had an email from Denny and... we're not in trouble.
Oh.
We're not in trouble. We're in a little bit of trouble. So he's got this thing. Denny is our boss. And he's a dick. Oh, hang on. No, hang on. How do you do it? A dick.
Oh, but you've got to hide it a bit more than that.
Dick.
He's a dick.
What are you saying?
He's a dick.
You're coughing. I can't hear you.
He's a dick.
You're coughing. I can't hear you. Just try it without coughing. He's a dick.
I'm not saying it because you'll clip it and send it to him.
So anyway, and he's got this idea. So we're sat in the studio and Catherine is sat to the right of me and there's cameras everywhere now. There's more cameras than there are people who work at this bloody station.
Yeah.
And he's got this brilliant idea. All right, guys. I've got an idea. He's tiny. I've got an idea. Both physically and in imagination. I've got an idea. Instead of you sitting on different sides, you should sit next to each other and then it's one shot. And we did it the other day, and Catherine,
he wants us to be like Piers and Susanna.
Catherine was on a higher chair than me, and la la la. And it was funny. It was a bit of fun. It was a bit of knockabout fun, as anybody with a sense of humour would acknowledge, right? He didn't see it as funny, and I got a very angry text.
He used to work at TalkSport, let's just say.
I got a very angry text saying, "You're taking the piss out of me. You're taking the piss out of me." And we went, no, we're not. He said, do it, and you do it properly. So... could you bring in the other stool?
Yeah.
From out there, Catherine, and we'll do it. We'll do it properly.
Do it the way you want it.
We'll do it the way that Denny wants it. Let's get this. So we've got to sit next to each other. He reckons it'll look better. I'm not convinced. Oh. Right. Yeah, I'll take that.
Right.
You bring your microphone round.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. There we go. Okay, can you squeeze in there?
Probably. Do you want your mouse? You have that.
Okay, if you sit down.
Just get that as you watch.
Don't worry about that. You sit down there. Okay. Okay, this is...
oh, hang on, I need my headphones.
Here we go. It's our boss's idea to do this. What a visionary he is. What's a sit next to each other. Sit next to each other. This is the Late Night Alternative. I'm Ian Lee.
I'm Catherine Boyle.
You can give us a call, 0344 499 1000. Yay is the phone number. I didn't really like it the other day. I think I prefer it like this.
My eye line leaves much to be desired.
I think
No.
No, I'm just getting comfy because it's
you're
not
manspreading.
Not manspreading.
I feel like I'm caged by your crotch.
Don't be so obscene.
Well, I am. You're obscene. I'm the one that's right level with it.
I'm enjoying this. I think this actually. I can see the show working like this.
I can see a bit too much of your show.
Steady. So okay. Well, let's crack on with the calls. 03444991000 is the phone number if you want to give us a call. The late night alternative. Can I ask you a question, dear listener? Does it sound different if we're sat like this, or do you get the same kind of vibe? Because I think this could work. I think this has got what it takes to make great radio.
I just liked it the way it was,
and also great online visual content. Because let's be honest, that's radio isn't really about listening to something in a little box in the bed anymore, or when you're in the car. It's about short 2 minute video clips on social media. That's what radio is all about. So I think this is a great idea, Denny. I'm sorry for taking the mick out of you. I'm sorry we didn't do it properly last time. Okay. So 03444991000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. You'd be very welcome.
If you let one go.
Yes.
Oh God.
Got a problem with that?
Yeah, I have a bit, yeah.
That's rude.
It is.
Of you. Let's go to the ads, I think.
Tales of mystery and imagination on the radio show that does things differently.
Dolly Parton, I listen to a record all day long.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
I'm a nut job, but not that kind of nut job.
On Talk Radio.
Honest to God, it's the new Breaking Bad.
Oh no!
You're listening to The Late Night Alternative. I'm Ian Lee.
And that's me, Catherine Boyle.
We've got a new seating position, which actually I quite like. I would like to officially apologise to my boss, Denny Morris. And Denny is short for mocking him for his suggestion of us sitting next to each other. I think this works.
Well, you would think it works. I'm directly next to your backside, has been ripe recently, especially with the vegetarian
since
thing.
Becoming a vegetarian, only on weekdays. I have got a little bit fruity in the tooty.
Less fruity, more eggy.
Is little Richard still alive? He is, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he is.
He is alive, isn't he? Because he's been, like, ill for years. Okay, that's the end of that conversation.
Why did you think of him?
Because of fruity tooty.
Oh, of course.
Let's go to Neil. Good evening, Neil.
Yo!
Yo!
Hello!
Neil! Yes!
Yes!
High five me, brother!
Yeah, you got it, Lee.
Yes. I can't reach the dumb button.
Long time listener.
Sorry.
Long
time listener, first time caller. Neil is on the show. He is in his car. We are wondering where he's going to go. Is he going home? Is he going to work? Is he seeing a lover behind his wife? Back we don't know.
He's going back to Bedford after long work.
After long work!
Long work, the worst work.
Neil is going back. Look out, Bedford! Neil's had long work! He's coming back!
I have work. Hey, listen, I've got a story about Little Richard. So, you did just talk about Little Richard, right?
No idea what you're talking about.
Oh, come on.
Come on, mate! Come on, you absolute winkers.
Stinky bum, Richard.
I'll show you a stinky bum.
Don't, please don't.
Hey, listen, my son is 1.5 years old.
Well, then act like a responsible parent. Shame on you. He looks up to you for some reason. So start pulling your weight, man.
No, he's learned how to say a few words. He can say stinky bamba.
Hey. That is great. That is good dadding. I did. I made a joke for my children today.
Yeah.
They said, I can't remember how we got onto the conversation, right? But one of them said, could someone have a swear word in their name?
Mm.
And I said, yes. I went to school with a guy called Colin Crap, right?
Did you?
No, of course I didn't. Just lying. They were in hysterics, right? They were in hysterics. And I said, yeah, yeah, yeah. I also went to school with a guy called Stevie SH1T, and I said the S word to them. And it's the first time I've said the S word. Where's he gone?
He's disgusted.
Neil, get back here! Get back here right now, Neil!
You and your long work.
I'm telling you a good story. Anyway, I swore at my kids tonight and they found it hilarious. That's the kind of dad I am. Did some terrible dadding yesterday. The worst kind. So we're playing Roblox, right? And in one of the games, someone's put this character, Momo, long hair, sort of looks down. And I went, oh, I know who Momo is. Hang on a minute. Where have you been, Neil?
Dude, I don't know what happened there. So tell me, you said I want a new swear word. Go.
Who is this guy? Who is this chancer? What is he talking about? I want a new swear word?
How long was your work, Neil?
Long work.
Sorry?
You did long work. It seems like it's been a...
Listen to the podcast, brother, because I told a brilliant story and you bailed out halfway through.
No way!
This is the podcast, this call. So listen to the podcast.
Dude, I listen to the podcast every single time.
Stalker.
Explains it.
Yeah, man.
Yes.
And you've had one of my best friends on your podcast, Pete Heat. He's one of the best magicians in the world.
He's a lousy magician. We only get him in because when he goes, we're laughing at how lousy that guy's jokes and tricks are. He sucks.
You're lying.
I am lying. Awesome. Pete Heat we're big fans of Pete Heat, and he was so good with my kids when my kids came in, and my eldest was trying to learn a few card tricks. And Pete is just, I think his act is unique, and I've seen a load of magicians. I've never seen anyone as good and as slick as him in a non-slick way.
Yeah, he's brilliant. Yeah, absolutely brilliant. I couldn't agree more.
Are you a magician?
Yes.
Do a trick then. Go on.
On the radio?
Yeah, go on. If you think you're so good.
All right. I don't think I'm so good, but I will do a trick on the radio.
Okay.
Okay. But you've got to focus.
I'll focus.
You start playing your little music that you do.
I'm not playing anything. I can't reach the music. It's too far away. I'm focused.
Okay. Everyone listening, and Catherine and Ian.
Six.
And
the number six.
Oh, shut up!
Sorry.
That's what I was going to do!
Was it the number six?
What?
Whoa!
No. Did you dump me?
Yes, Neil. That's a yellow card. Stroppy magician. I like it. It's a twist. I've not seen this act before. He's a sweary, stroppy magician.
Sorry. Don't say it out loud or it's not a trick.
Number six.
In your mind.
Yeah.
Everyone think of a number between 1 and 10, but don't say it.
All right.
Okay. Take that number and in your mind, times it by the number 9 in your mind.
What's 7 times 9?
Don't say that out loud.
Oh!
Okay, now you've got...
Did you say between 1 and 10?
Yes, sir.
Including 1 and 10?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay, now, you've times that by 9.
Yes.
So you probably have got a 2-digit number or 1-digit number in your head, whatever. Say you've got a 2-digit number.
Whatever.
I want you all to add those 2 digits of that number together. In your mind, don't say it.
Well, is this a trick or a maths lesson? Are you tricking me into doing maths?
No, just do it.
Okay.
And you'll like it, okay?
Not a lot.
It's just a box of donkey dudes. You've done that, added those 2 digits together. Now you're left with a new number, and this is your final task.
Have you got Pete Heat's number? Look out, Bedford, he's had long work.
Hey, you're the worst audience in the world.
You're the worst magician in the world.
I'm trying to remember the number. Everyone shush.
Shush.
That is going on my flyer. So you've added the 2 digits together.
Hang on, when you say you've had long work, do you just mean you went and did some magic? Oh,
some math.
Absolute chancer.
Sums he's done all day.
Yeah, he's a maths teacher.
All right.
He teaches eight-year-olds maths.
Do you know what, Ian?
Yes?
You don't need to dump budge this trick. Let me just tell you a story, all right?
No, I
remembered the number.
No, sir.
Okay,
you don't get to choose to bail out of a trick.
Zip it. Catherine.
Yes.
That number that you've added the 2 digits together.
Yes.
That number you've left with, take away 5. That's, okay? Take away 5 from that number, okay?
Right.
Now, that number you've got in your head, don't forget it. The last number you've got in your head, don't forget it. If A is 1, B is 2, C is 3, all the way down the alphabet, get a letter for the number that you were left with at the end, yeah?
No.
Sorry? What do you mean no?
No.
Well, I've got a minus number.
Well, you can't have a minus number. You should have the number 4, you then pick D, you then pick Denmark.
I think I've done it wrong.
Ah!
Have I got it right? Denmark?
Yeah, you have.
Of course you've got it wrong. You can't have a minus number.
Minus number?
Neil, the only reason I know that trick is because I heard a brilliant documentary on 4Extra about 3 weeks ago where it was about maths and magic. And they did it, and Denmark is the answer.
Well, listen. I wouldn't like to take away Pete's gig, but if you, I wonder, I'd love to meet. Actually, do you know what? I have met you.
Whoa! This guy is a criminal. He's a sex criminal.
Listen to this, right? I wonder if you remember me. You probably don't. But way, way, way long ago.
Did you sell me drugs in the 90s?
No.
Okay.
I used to live in Crouch End, and I used to be a member of Holmes Place, as it was once called.
Oh, yeah, that became Virgin Active.
That became Virgin Active.
Yes. And I saw Michael McIntyre in there once, and he spoke to me, and he told me the BBC had told him he had to lose weight. I bet they're not telling him now.
Not anymore. Well, I'm getting off track. I went in there and was in the changing room. I'm telling this on radio. I was in the changing room.
Have you seen Ian's privates?
No.
I saw Simon Pegg's. I spoke to Simon Pegg's a-hole in there.
You nearly saw your old chap.
I'll show it to you now if you want.
No.
Little tutti frutti. Listen, I was in the changing rooms and I went to... Do you remember, Ian? Do you remember there was that little sauna in there?
Oh, yeah. There was. There was that little room, yeah.
Yeah, so I went in there and you were sitting in there all on your own... With a little towel around you.
And I double took
because that was when you were on LBC and I was listening to you then. And I was like, oh, is it? And I made such an idiot of myself. And I said to you, because at the time I had
to cut this pervert off in a minute. This guy disgusts.
Are you really? Okay.
Now go on, get to the point, you weirdo!
I said, what did he say?
Sorry, I just leant on Kath's chair. Sorry, I didn't realise it went back. Sorry. Sorry, I didn't mean that. Sorry, I'm so sorry. Carry on!
Oh, I just met you in the sauna.
There was opposite... Did I say anything to you?
Yes, you did. I said, oh, mate, I would love to get on the radio. And you said, make me a cassette tape. And I'll give it to the people. And I never did.
Well, then that's your fault. Because we were... We were actually looking for a new undiscovered talent then, and they would have given it to you. Instead, they gave it to James O'Brien. So you snooze, you lose.
James O'Brien rocks. I love him. Really,
there used to be a really nice little cafe opposite Holmes Place called, like, Hot Jam or Red Pepper...
Red Pepper Jelly.
And yep, one of the Segway sisters used to work in there. So that was a great little cafe.
Wasn't that Kirsty?
Is she one of the Segway sisters?
No, I know who it was. It was Carrie Marks.
That's a man, isn't it?
His wife or ex-wife? I don't know if they're together.
I don't know. We're getting...
Anyway, whatever. Oi. I love your show. And you know what? You know what prompted me to call?
The fact that you're high on drugs?
Nothing to say, clearly.
Yes.
But I was just listening.
Hello?
We'll never know.
He's disappeared.
Oh, there he is.
Now we can't hear you!
Say again.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah? I prompted to call. I didn't really have anything to say, obviously.
We noticed.
But I was listening to your podcast, and the advert at the beginning for Beer 52 or whatever that is, Craft 52...
Yes.
That is wicked advert.
We're
that
not allowed to talk about the adverts, you absolute prune. No wonder you didn't make it in radio. Neil, nice to talk to you, man. Thank you so much. Give us a call again. Enjoy Bedford. Bedford, look out. He had long, hard work. What did he say?
Long work.
Work long and prosper. God, thank you, Neil. I enjoyed that.
That guy lives near me and my children.
He lived near me before I had children. It's a coincidence. Yes. Speaking of coincidences. Hello, Nige. Hello, Nigel.
Hello, Mrs. Doubtfire here.
But I thought you were Irish, Mrs. Doubtfire.
Scottish. I'm not Irish.
Okay.
That's not a usual voice for Mrs. Doubtfire, isn't it?
It's hello, dearie.
Hello, dearie. I'm Mrs. Dunfair. I've never seen the movie, but to sound like this, I believe.
I sound more like Monty Python, don't I, than anything?
You sound exactly like Monty. I've never heard such a good impression of Monty Python in my life.
Monty would be happy.
The one where the man did, hello, I would like some shopping today. That was what was his name who did that? Peter, wasn't it? Peter one.
Peter.
The one
called Peter Python.
The one called Peter.
Peter Python picked a pebble penis.
I can't remember his name.
Peter Python picked a pebble
anyway,
penis.
Anyway, Ian.
Yes?
I rung up to tell you, I've just seen Miley Cyrus on the Graham Norton show promoting her new album.
I was going to say, I've just seen Miley Cyrus in the Greyhound pub.
Is it a record? Does he record the
show? They record it probably the day before, yeah.
Yeah, I happen to have it on. I don't have him on very often. I don't have Graham Norton very often.
No. You tend to have it off.
Neither does he have me. anyway, enough from the jokes.
Oh, I didn't know we'd started the jokes.
No, you know what? I was being a bit rude there, wasn't
okay.
I? Him having me and me having him, you know.
Sexual intercourse.
I was joking.
Right, enough of the anyway, doing it jokes.
So, anyway, I enjoy it. She looks fabulous, Miley does. I've just tweeted her sister to watch the show.
Did you have a little loosening of the belt?
Oh, stop it!
No, I didn't, because I was listening to her singing.
Okay.
Anyway, she looked lovely anyway.
Have you had any more talcum powder massages from the lady who lives in the tent?
That's to come over Christmas. She came to visit me tonight, but she didn't give me a massage. She was only popped in and out.
She's too busy getting evaluations for all your property.
Yeah, she just popped in and out. That's another joke. Yeah.
No, doesn't quite make sense.
No, well,
unless
she told Ian.
Hello.
She told me she was bisexual.
Well, she has to pay for it. There's a joke. That's a joke. She has to buy it. Just to pay for it.
What
yes,
you
it's
mean,
slightly
yeah.
offensive and bisexual phobic, but.
So I've just tweeted. No, I've just tweeted.
Nigel's likely to have potentially is in a situation to have a three-way gangbang.
Who is?
For me,
Miley Cyrus.
This is outrageous scenes.
Miley Cyrus and Ian and me.
Yeah. Oh God.
and Catherine.
No, I'm all right. I'll hold your coat.
What? Could you massage my back for me, Catherine?
Yes, with my foot.
I'll tell you what she's going to massage.
A dick. Whoa, don't.
Sorry?
Because they all think you mean it. Dirty pervert. Exactly. Even the Queen likes a bum.
When can we start the Christmas songs, Ian?
Now, I suppose.
A two. No.
One, two, three.
Hey.
Ding dong merrily on high. In
song.
Heaven, Nigel singing. He's a senior spaceman in the sky with a big fat face and he was singing. La 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 la.
That's one I don't know.
Oh.
But the chestnuts roasting on an open. I'd rather start next week if I could. On Monday. Start Monday.
All right, Monday. Monday it's the Nigel from Maidstone Christmas song countdown.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
By the way, you just reminded me, we are not in on Tuesday.
No.
Oh. So are you in on Wednesday?
Yes.
Yeah. Right, can I do
and we're in on Thursday.
And we're in on Friday.
And then we're in on the... Yeah.
And then we'll be in a Saturday, probably in the new year, to make up for us not being in on Tuesday. They're doing a Brexit vote special and they...
Assuming it happens.
Well, yeah, they said to us, do you want to do it? We went, not really. Might as well get a grown-up in to do it. So we won't be in Tuesday, but we will be doing a live Saturday night show in January, probably.
Christmas Eve. Night. Are you on Christmas Eve evening?
Of course not, mate. No. Yep.
Oh,
Christmas Eve? Are you nuts?
Well, New Year's Eve. Are you doing any of that?
Yes, we are. New Year's Eve special, yes.
Till 1 o'clock?
I don't know. At the moment, I'm guessing it's 10 till 1, but I think it was 10 till 1 last year, but the year
before I'll be able to ring in and do a song then, you know, for New Year's Eve.
That's ages away, mate. You can't do a Christmas song on New Year's.
No, something anyway. I've just bought a Susan Boyle album.
Why?
Susan Boyle. Well, to see if there's any songs on there I can sing along with her. You know, Susan Boyle, because you don't hear much of her. She had a good voice. So there are some Christmas songs on this album, so I've got yet to have a look at it. I've just got it today.
All right, well, that's really interesting. Thank you.
I'll do one of those over Christmas. It's got some Christmassy songs.
Hang on, let me play this. Someone's just said, someone's just sent me this. It's Slade, Merry Christmas, Everybody.
Yeah.
But, hang on a minute.
I'm trying
but
to
all
find
the lyrics.
Album,
shush, please, right? But all the lyrics are you hanging up your stocking on the wall? Let's try. Mm. Okay, let's see if this works. Let's try some.
For the neighbours, I couldn't shout that out because of the neighbours.
Well played, though. That was great.
Yeah, it's a remake of it.
No, it's the original. That's the original.
I didn't know they were the words.
Yeah. It's that thing. Until you analyse the lyrics, you don't really realise what the lyrics are.
That's the first time I really heard that song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for your call, Nigel.
I can do you a Christmas song now if you want.
Don't worry. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio. There's your video. It ends there, Nigel. We go back to you. We'd love to have a we'd love to have a Christmas song. Of course, we would.
Yes.
Away you go.
Well, I want. Can I do the Miley Cyrus one? I Miss You instead.
No, you said no. You said a Christmas song.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I'll sing Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. Then, if everyone's listening properly. Okay.
Are you listening
first
properly,
one of
everyone?
The year, is it?
Sorry.
First one of the year. This will be, will it?
What do you mean the first one? What?
The first Christmas song on your radio for this year.
We just.
Hmm.
We.
Anyway,
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I'll do this best I can. Okay. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, and Jack Frost nipping at your nose, and Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up as Eskimos. Everybody knows some turkey and some mistletoe help to make the seasons bright. And tiny tops with their eyes all aglow helping to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas to you.
Thanks, Nige.
Thank you, Ian.
Bye-bye. This is Talk Radio. Some song, huh? Oh, where did we go? It went. That's some song, huh? Some song, man. That's the Staves. They're going to be your new favourite band. I heard them on Six Music the other day and bought the album. Man, it's good. They've done a Christmas song that just came out today. We'll have that after Midnight Show. I've not heard it.
Three sisters.
Yeah.
From, I want to say Watford.
We'll say it.
Watford.
Yeah, we go.
It might not be right. But might not be I'm right. saying Watford.
They sound like, they're kind of like folky but poppy. They sound a bit like the British Dixie Chicks. There, I said it. I put them in a little box. That whole album, listen to it on the way in. It is a masterpiece. The album I got, if I was, a masterpiece of harmonies, lush melodies, and thrilling, soaring bits and pieces. I think we got Katie back. Katie?
Hello.
Hello, Katie.
Hey
Katie. Hi. We got, thank you for your card.
We only found it
a couple of days ago because we don't go to the pigeon boxes anymore.
We thought that they'd all been cleared out and abandoned.
Like it.
Yeah. I've got it in my bag.
Very, very sweet of you. Thank you very much indeed.
It's okay.
And you're a lovely human being. How's everything going?
It's going all right, yeah. I just wanted to call up to contend with your bad day.
Here we go. All right. Are we having a little bad day top trumps?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, here we go. Well, let's just a reminder. Just a reminder. I dropped my phone in my own feces. That phone is now broken. I had to.
And then he put it in Uncle Ben's, and it was the wet kind.
Please be quiet. Mm. That's disrespectful. it was broken. I've had to buy a new phone, and my food was not delivered this evening. And Catherine has got a real cob on.
I've got a cob on.
Yes, yeah. And that laugh just proves it. So thank you. That's the evidence that I will use in court. Against you.
Okay, well, good luck with that.
That exactly, and there it is again. That's the second bit. That's Exhibit B, Your Honour. Katie, beat that, but you can't.
I can beat all that. I'm not sure how I'm supposed to phrase this, though, because I don't want to swear on the radio.
Yeah.
So me and my sister and my mum went to Asda, and we came back, and my mum was getting the baby out of the car, and me and my sister walked into the living room and found my dad... doing.
No.
Yes.
No.
No, what?
Yes. It was horrible.
Whoa.
In the living room where we sit and eat tea.
Was...
I don't live with them, but where I come round and eat tea.
Your dad... I've got to just get this straight, okay?
I've got a way to phrase it.
Go on.
So you walked in on your dad shaking hands with the unemployed.
Yes.
Flip it.
Does that mean masturbating?
It does, yeah.
It means okay, right, so we're on the same.
Yeah.
Flipping it. Was he watching a video? Did he have a movie on?
He's like a really tame guy. He doesn't even swear or anything, I think.
Well, he knocks one out.
From what I see, it was a saucy bit in a film that he was replaying.
Oh, okay.
He wasn't even like on a proper site.
So he was just watching a normal Hollywood movie where there's a little bit of boob, and he thought, "Oh, I remember them."
I think so. Yeah.
Do you remember them? Do you remember them, fella?
He was having a random romantic moment.
Wowzers! Yeah. Okay, and so, so what was said? What was the conversation when you walked in on your dad shivering a beauty?
Oh my god!
That's disgusting.
It is, isn't it?
Well,
it's not my family problem.
Thank God it wasn't out. It was like an under the pan kind of thing.
Oh, okay, all right, all right.
And we both kind of screamed, me and my sister, and like ran out the door.
Do the scream for me that you did.
Oh, I can't. I've got neighbours, but it was really bad. it was like that.
Wowzers!
I bet there was a freeze frame. Of about a minute in your mind before you reacted, but it was probably a second.
And
it was, it was like about a second of where my dad kind of went, oh, and we went, oh, and then we both all kind of collectively like,
hey, shame on you, Katie. It's not the house you live in, is it?
No.
Well, then shame on you. Shame on you. You shouldn't be just traipsing around your parents' house.
Sneaking up on him.
How dare you? That man has worked his entire life to buy a little bit of privacy, so that if he's watching a movie in the afternoon and he wants to knock one out, then that's exactly what he can do. He has earned that right. He has earned that right to have a fiddle any time he wants to have a fiddle.
Not in the living room.
Yes.
That's why they call it...
I mean, that's disgusting.
That's why they call it the living room.
Yes. Here's the thing. I've got a house now, Katie, and I'm going to be honest, I have pleasured myself in every single room in that house.
Oh, my God. That's an image I proper don't need in my
every
head.
Single room. And also in the loft space as well.
Have you?
Yeah, in the bit where you open the door and you go in and it's like all
that's
that asbestos
stuff.
That's
not even a proper room. That's just a cupboard.
It's my house. I do what I want.
Oh, my God.
I've worked long and hard for that house.
Say long and hard.
I spent 3 weeks with a bunch of a-holes in the jungle so I could afford that house. All right? I worked long and hard for that house. I will
not. Stop saying long and hard.
I want to come and meet your dad. I want to shake his hand and I want to.
Don't shake his hand.
It's so disgusting.
What?
It's so minging.
You've had a baby. You've done worse.
That's natural. At least, you know what I mean? Natural. I didn't do it in front of everyone.
Right. Well, okay.
I don't think he was waiting for you to come in, was he?
What was. Did you tell
no,
your mum?
No, I don't think so.
Did you tell your mum?
My mum was it come in the second after.
She saw. And then she shut the door and kept you two out while they
stop it.
Entertained each other. She went, that's mine, I'm hungry.
It didn't go down like that at all.
How did she go down then?
It was more like my dad stood up and was like, oh my God, he was mortified.
And then his trousers and pants fell down.
Were just Me and my sister were screaming.
Grow
the baby was just like, what's going on? My mom.
Oh, the baby was there. That's suddenly taken a very, very dark twist. I didn't know there was a baby actually present. So what did you say? What was the next conversation with your dad after that when you went back in the room?
I kind of tried to reassure him because he seemed a bit upset.
03444991000. Good evening, David.
Good evening. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well done. Hey. You just won yourself £5 for uttering those classic words.
Tremendous. Mm. I've been meaning to call you for a while, but felt I needed a kind of a meaty, clunky gear change of a call to do so.
OK, all right. I like your style. Bearing in mind, most of our callers have nothing to talk about, but OK, you've come prepared. I like this.
I feel I've probably tipped the scales too far.
Uh-oh.
And, I was going to call you last night and then bottled it, as I had the number in my phone. And then today, it's been one of those crazy days.
Yeah.
Probably the craziest of days. My wife passed away today.
Oh. Oh, brother.
I know.
It's the only thing I can think to say. I'm sorry, man.
Yeah. And it's been a hell of a year. She discovered she went into hospital in March with an obstruction, which we found out was bowel cancer. And then we had a successful operation to remove it, and 5 or so months of chemotherapy. And we went to the 6-month scan, and unfortunately, at that point, we thought we were going to get the good news, but we got the bad news that it had been resistant to chemotherapy, and it had spread to the liver and the lungs. And that was in September, and she's been quite a rapid deterioration since then, and just been in hospital for the... Feels like forever, but it's been a few weeks, and she passed away today. And that was going to be my meaty, clunky gear change, but you know.
Well, you don't have to tell me if you don't want. May I ask what her name?
Sarah, without a H.
Without an H.
Mm.
I always go for the Sarah, and the number of Sarahs.
Mm-hmm.
Did she call people out if they went for the Sarah?
She was too polite.
Oh, no!
No, but she'd probably just make a note.
So people would be getting her name wrong and she'd just go with it?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
God, well.
You can imagine the amount of doctors and consultants who come in and say her wrong things, but she'd never complain.
How long have you been married for? If I ask anything you don't want to say, David, or if at any point you just want to bail out of the call, it's all cool, man. You know that. You've been listening.
It's been a strange day. I've been surrounded by her family, who are amazing, and you know, they're essentially, well, they are my second family, but they're, you know, just as close to me as anyone could be. But I've kind of just stepped out of that kind of environment. I'm just sat in my car, and for some reason, giving you a call. So I'm more than happy to chat. And, we're married for 5 years, but we've been together for over 16 years.
Wow. What took you so long, man? What took you so long to get married?
We did the whole thing of... I would have probably married her the day I met her, but we did the whole thing of, you know, well, basically, she was 18 when we met. I was 21. And then we met midweek at a gig. I kind of saw her, and then that Sunday, we both went off to separate unis. So it was a long distance relationship, for the first 4 years. But we're both from the same town, so you have holidays, don't you, Marvin? You're actually at university,
and you look, because I know so many people at university. Well, my boyfriend back home, or my boyfriend's gone to Durham. Yeah. And then, you know, after the first semester, what boyfriend? You kept it going for 4 years while you were at university. That's remarkable.
Yeah, and then she stayed on and did a PhD in Edinburgh, where she went to university, and I thought Edinburgh's such a cool place. So I moved up then.
Wicked. It's a great place.
And then we moved down to London in 2009. And, then once we kind of done the whole uni thing and everything, that's kind of when we thought we should really... been 10 years, we're probably... Probably a good match. We got married after kind of 10 years together. Basically.
Well, in that case,
actually, you got married the soonest you could, really, practically, didn't you?
Yeah, financially. Yeah.
That's the way it works these days.
Yeah, exactly. And we've got a beautiful, beautiful daughter who's 2 years old as well. So.
Oh, blimey!
Oh dear! Oh dear! Yeah. That's I'm going to be honest, David. I'm welling up here a little bit. I hope you don't mind.
Right.
I hope you don't mind, but I am.
I don't mind. And, yeah, it's tough. I mean, she was an ARV magician, I'm guessing, ages, but I know her voice, but she was 34 years old, so it's no age at all.
It's nothing, is it, man?
No.
Where's, so you spent the whole day with her family, which I'm...
Yeah.
Sure is a great comfort, but also I guess maybe do you perhaps want a little bit of time on your own?
Yeah, it's we've got a little 2-bedroom house, and we've had kind of all her family staying with us. So we've got 2 sisters, brother-in-law, brother, and a mum have all been staying in our house with Freya, my daughter, as well. So it's been a great distraction, but obviously you don't get that space at the same time.
No, you need a little bit of when someone passes, you need a little bit of silence. What about your family? Have you got your family?
Yeah, my family are up north, but completely supportive and everything like that, but at the same time not wanting to kind of overwhelm and realise there's a kind of limit to the amount of people you want to see. And also they've been taking good care of our dog for the past month or so.
How is Freya? Is she all right?
She's doing really, really well. She's amazing. She's the most beautiful girl. And she knew that mummy was sore, that her tummy was sore. So I've not had the big chat yet. But,
mate.
She knows that we managed to take her into hospital when mummy was a bit more kind of... a bit more lucid and with it in terms of her communications, and the team, they were really good, and they brought her in some like paper and finger paints, and they did finger painting together. So that's kind of the last time she saw mummy, and it was a beautiful moment. It really was.
Yeah, I bet it was. I bet it was.
And all the team at the hospital were just been amazing, really, really amazing. So.
How I'm going to ask you a really dumb question. Right, it's a really dumb question, and you may not have an answer for this, but how if I was there now, I would put my hand on your shoulder and I would look you in the eye and I'd say, how are you doing, brother? How are you feeling right now?
I guess, I mean, you go through the whole rollercoaster of emotions that I've kind of been going through since September when you get the news that the cancer's come back, and I know certain people love to be positive and think there's always going to be a happy ending. But I think I had to go down the route of knowing that I had Freya was just to be kind of a practical way of thinking and, you know, planning for the future before you even get there and trying to prepare yourself. But then you get to today and you realise that you can't prepare yourself when someone you love so much passes. And I'd just say I feel daunted would be the word.
Yeah, yes, I imagine that sums it up. Perfectly, is there's a lot of you're staring at a lot of unknowns.
Yeah.
Now,
I think I had like a wobble, shall we say, a few nights ago, when I spent the night in the room where Sarah was in hospital, and just to be with her, and obviously a night in a hospital just feels like a very, very long time with everything that's going on.
Oh, it's horrendous, isn't it? Here's the thing, it's so noisy in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's so noisy with people talking and walking and farting and machines and... How is anyone supposed to get any rest in a hospital room?
And I think at that point I was in my head running through every possible challenge and scenario that me and Freya are going to face over the next, 5, 10, 15, 20 years. And trying to come up with an answer on the spot of how I was going to fix that. I mean, I know deep down that you just got to take each day and each step at a time and each decision at a time, but it just gets away from you sometimes.
Wobbles are allowed, you know that. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a lot of wobbles. Of course, you have to. You have to have certain strength for yourself and for your daughter. But you're also allowed to break down, you're also allowed to wobble, you're allowed to cry, you're allowed to make mistakes, and you're allowed to feel what you are inevitably going to feel, and you're allowed to express that. And I'm sure you know that, but just reminding that everything that you're going to feel in the next couple of days, weeks, years, That's all cool. There's no, you know, you're allowed to feel that stuff.
I just want to say thank you to both of you. You've kept us very entertained on the drives in and out of hospital and in the traffic. I've introduced you to her family and...
Oh, God. I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry about Ian's, like, wind.
Well, I think you saying a dick or...
Well, I'm sorry about that as well.
I'm about one or two podcasts behind, because I'm usually a podcast person rather than a live caller at this. There's something to be said for a distraction, I think.
Hey, listen, David, you are welcome to give us a call any time that you want. Of course you are. Oh, hang on a second. You're welcome to give us a call any time you want. And I send you love, man.
Thank you.
Have you... you can drop me an email as well. Have you got my email address?
Yeah.
OK,
yeah,
well, if you've
given me good migraine advice.
Oh, have I? Oh, well, yeah. There you go. Well, then, listen, if you want to kind of reach out, I believe the Americans call it, and, if you just want to have a chat online or you want to... You send me an email and I'll send you my number and stuff, and, well, you know, if you want to have a little text or a little chat or something, then that would be cool, if you want. And if you don't want, you don't have to.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that.
But as you know, from one dad to another and from one human being to another, I'm really sorry. And, there's nothing I can say, man. But you have touched us in a way that I'm sure you can't imagine. And we're there for you, and all the listeners are there for you too, brother.
Thank you. And hopefully the next caller can be a clunky gear changing the
doesn't have to be. If you want to phone up, you know, whatever, you want to phone up, be silent, whatever, it's all fine, man. Take care, David.
Thanks for
drive carefully.
Cheers. Thank you.
Bye bye. Oh dear, dearie me, that's got me. I know it's got you.
Yeah.
It's not fair, is it? None of this is fair. None of this is fair. All right, let's have the ads.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee. On air and off the leash. On Talk Radio.
Thank you for that call, David. Lots of love to Freya. Thinking of Sarah. Or Sarah, as some would have her.
Don't.
She wouldn't say anything. Oh, bless. Me and Kath just had a very, very good cry in the studio. We might cry a little bit more. Because we've both been touched by cancer, not physically ourselves, but people in our lives. We've lost people, and we're also parents. And it's also just a very, very sad story. So me and Kath had a little cry, and we've had a little hug. And I'm sure lots of you at home are doing the same. And David, I'm sure you're not listening. I'm sure you now doing whatever you've got to do. But thank you for sharing that. Thank you for feeling that you could share that with us. I feel privileged, genuinely privileged to have spoken to you. I would love to have spoken to Sarah at some point, but I feel privileged that you chose us. And there's a lot of love for you on Twitter as well, which is unusual because Twitter, as we know, is a cesspit. And what this is why I love this show, right? Because 20 minutes ago, we were talking about some 19-year-old girl finding her dad cracking one out. And then we go from that to David's call. It really is. This is why we call this show the Late Night Alternative, because that's where we go. And please don't think, you mentioned the phrase, their clunky gear change, and some of you may not have heard it before. This is a show where we do these clunky gear changes, where we go from something frivolous, although I'm sure Katie is traumatised by what she saw, to something, you know, at the complete other end of the spectrum, hearing David talk about his wife, Sarah. And then the next phone call might be about, I don't know, farts or something. It is. Don't feel that because of David's call, you can't call in with something frivolous. Yeah. Of course you can. If you want to share, if that has kind of touched something in you and you want to share one your own story, you'd be very, very welcome to.
That's what we want. That's why I don't sit in the other room screening the calls and working out who goes where, trying to find something smooth, because life isn't smooth, right? So come on, don't self-edit. we'll decide how we handle things. It's our job to sort of steer you through it, honestly. And, you know, as we said, conversation doesn't go like that.
Yeah, exactly. It's a conversation. And kind of me and Kath, I guess, are like the bartenders or the cafe owners. And people come in and share a little bit of their story and then off they go. Or, you know, so thank you, David. I don't... It's that thing. I literally didn't know what to say.
There's nothing you can say.
There isn't. And the I'm sorry is a cliche, but it is the first thing that kind of comes. You find it in your throat coming out. I'm sorry, you know. There's no words of wisdom to offer. There's nothing. You just have to let him know. You have to let people in that situation know that you are there for them. And he's, you know, he's at the very early stages of a long, old journey.
Experience the unconventional,
evening, boys.
The unpredictable,
what's happening?
And the completely unorthodox,
exactly.
With rule-free Ian Lee, the late-night alternative with Ian Lee.
I've got no internet for the last 4 days.
On Talk Radio.
Here we go. That's a song, isn't it? That's Ray Stevens, who sang The Streak, right? This is from this great album, Bob Stanley and Pete Wiggs present the State of the Union. And it's all, Mr. Take care of business, Mr. Businessman. It's great. They're just so unsubtle. Every one of these songs is so completely unsubtle. Oh, my God. It's all these established artists trying to say a little bit more than I love you. Can I hold your hand? I want to marry you till the end, till the day I die. There's a great one. From the Four Seasons, Saturday's Father. And halfway through it, I got it. It's about a dad who only sees his daughter on a Saturday. Oh, man! It's the Four Seasons, you know. Just a couple of years after Big Girls Don't Cry and Walk Like a Man, Saturday's Father. I played one of the greatest Elvis songs of all time as well after midnight. 0344. Okay, 034. Ian, I'm a long-time fan of your radio show, who doesn't watch I'm a Celebrity. Today I read in the Irish Daily Star about you being bullied on last year's show. And as a lifelong bully victim, I'm now an even bigger fan of yours. You're my hero. Thank you, Kevin. It was in the Irish Daily Star today. Wowzers. 0344 499 1000. I'm Ian Lee. Who are you?
I'm Catherine Boyle.
And let's say hello to, I'm not sure, Billy.
Hello.
Hello, Billy.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, are you? How are you?
Not too bad, thank you.
Have we spoken before?
No, but I called the other day speaking to somebody else on the radio about some topic of some sort.
Speaking to somebody else about some topic of some sort. Okay, well, that's...
Something about Christmas.
Christmas time. La, 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 la. Christmas time. La, 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 la. I bought a Christmas tree. Actually, I wasn't going to do it. I've ordered a cheap, crappy, plastic, 4-foot Christmas tree off of Amazon. I wasn't going to do it. And I said to my boys, would you like me to have one for when you come over? They went, yeah, of course. They went, right, I'm getting one. That's it.
Christmas is in.
Well, it's
coming. You know that song that was just playing then, Take Care of Business, Mr. Businessman?
Yes,
I do. It's funny because, you know, things seem to make sense in their own way when they come across at time to time, as they do. And just a while ago, I was working down in Brighton and a song came on and it was singing what was my boy Billy doing in a town or yard. He got killed.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't want to bring the mood down.
Too late.
But somebody's trying to kill me.
Gosh. Yeah. Okay, what makes you think that? What's happening?
Well, I got myself into a spot above her. Someone was messing with my family and I've made a few things to say I'll do this and that.
Yeah.
And it's not really that bad. And I'm trying to talk to them, but thing is I'm some sort of, they say crazy, but I'm just crazy at the minute, type of genius person to a new level of beautifulness, which is way I've made myself through, you know, enjoying the world that I live in.
And, I got it.
Yeah, and just really, you know, immersing myself into it. It's been great fun.
Can I ask you two questions?
I don't want it to end just yet.
Can I ask you two questions?
If you can ask as many as you like.
All right. Well, two I've got to start with. They're quite personal questions. Do you mind?
No, go on. You're quite funny.
Thank you. They're not funny questions. Have you been diagnosed as bipolar or anything like that?
No, I've not got no problem with me. You see, I understand things quite well. I understand them probably better than most people.
So the answer to that question is no.
No, I've spoke to some people about some things.
And what have those people said about those things?
Well, they can't really get through or past much of it. If anything, I could probably do the job better than them.
Okay. Like, and question number two. Question number two. When was the last time you took, let's say, LSD?
Well, sadly, quite a while ago.
Yeah. It's, I know what you mean. It's of all of them, it's the one that makes you think. The others don't make you think. What do you, you do? Do you like? Hang on a second. Hang on. Question. I'm lying. There's question number three. Do you take drugs now? And be honest.
I'm having a drink.
Okay. But what's the great line in Brass Eye? Some people think that alcohol is a drug. It isn't. It's a drink, which is a great line. But do you take any drugs like weed or coke or anything like that?
Yeah, I used to take quite a lot of them, not too much as to what other people do, but, you know, I try to, and I'm hoping to take a lot more.
Okay. Okay.
They're really good for you, and they're good for your thinking. And
Well, no, cocaine isn't good for you or good for your thinking. Trust me, I know.
Well, it's great for a party. I think it makes you help drink more as well through the night. And
well, yeah, cocaine... Yes,
more focused.
You know what?
If I go out drinking without any of it, I'll be...
He's right, cocaine... If your aim is to drink more, cocaine helps you drink more because it sobers you up, and then you kind of think, well, what's the point in drinking? But I have to say... As someone who's done a lot more research than you, I just have to say, cocaine is not a good drug. It's not a positive drug.
Well, I'm not some conspiracy theorist, so I don't think you should be making fun of me thoughts. And I don't want to upset
just,
you either, because I like the call and I want to speak to you, but I'm trying to make a point.
Billy, well, you're going
to
make your point.
Be able to help me
I'm going to help you. I'm helping you, but in a way that you don't know. No way have I made fun of you, Billy.
Yeah.
You just said that I was making fun of you. I'm not making fun of you.
No, I know.
Okay.
I know you're making it fun for the radio, but you probably do better than that. No, not to be thingy. It's great as it's going, all right. I like drugs, but nothing interfering with my...
Okay, so who is trying... All right, whatever.
Clear.
All right, you're not thinking clear. You're rambling and talking nonsense for the most part. But, so who's trying to kill you then?
Do these people who've been possibly paid to do it... just to get me out of the way because they think I'm trouble.
No, they don't. You need. Here's the thing, right? I can.
Good. I'm good. I'm very.
You're
good.
You're not good. Who?
No, I am. A lot of big people know me all over the country.
Okay. And what do you want from me? Because I ain't going to be able to help
you.
No,
I was just sitting in my car, and I'm sleeping in it tonight. I'm working away. I work all over.
Yeah. Doing what?
I'm just thinking. I got trade. And I work all over the country, and I do my little thoughts, and I do my little things. Normally I do, I'll sit there and have a split, and I'll have a drink, and I'll just ponder things. Could be anything, depends what's happened that day. It might be someone's thoughts about me. I love my lads that I do, so obviously most of the time it'll be something to do with that, and I'll just be seeing what they're thinking about me.
You can read their thoughts?
Obviously, I don't want to sound weird and shit, but, you know, we know how it goes.
Can I tell you something that might surprise you?
Probably not.
I've not understood a word you've said in this phone conversation. How does that make you feel?
Well, a little bit silly.
Yeah. Don't feel silly. I'm just trying to hold up a mirror that I know you're straining not to look into. Read my thoughts.
Well, yeah. You're not thinking anything, are you?
Yeah, I am. I'm thinking something. Read my thoughts.
Oh, go on, man. Think something.
I'm thinking it.
Cheeky. Listen, I want you to get Theresa May to call me, right?
Because the reason read my thoughts.
Because I've loved England since a very small
read
child.
My thoughts.
I've been through a lot.
Read my thoughts.
And that's why I've done it all.
Read my thoughts.
Well, think something then.
I'm thinking of two very specific things. Would it help if I just thought of one thing?
No.
All right, two things.
No. Just think it.
Thinking two things.
I ain't hearing nothing, mate.
No, because you can't read people's minds.
You know, we all do, don't
you,
we?
No, we don't. Nobody does. You can't read people's... I can't read minds because we can't read minds and you can't read minds. I was thinking two very specific things which I'd like to share with you.
Go on.
First one is, I love you, man. And the second one is, this guy really needs help and I hope he gets it one day.
Well, I don't need much help.
You do.
I'm doing fine for me.
You're ill. You're very seriously ill.
I get drunk all the time and I eat nice food.
Okay, you're very seriously ill.
I'm very happy, really. It's just these people trying to kill me.
No one's trying to kill you. Theresa May isn't good. No one's trying to kill you, brother. Theresa May isn't going to phone you.
No, that's not true, though. But that doesn't matter. That's not the point. The point is that doesn't matter to you, and that's okay, and that's my own trouble that I need to sort out myself. The problem that it is that I'm just calling up just to say, because I'm a lovely lad just going about England. And
I'm sure you are, man. I'm sure you're a joy to be with.
Level of stuff, right, that is beautiful, and it goes...
When was the last time you spoke to your family?
A lot. Eh?
When was the last time you spoke to your family, man?
Well, they're all gone now. This is what I'm saying, because these people destroyed my whole family. So I'm going to go destroy them.
Don't destroy anybody. You say your family are dead?
Sort of.
Or not, well, sort of. They're not. They're not talking, just not talking to you.
No, it was worse. They've done some mad stuff to me. Because I do this thing with love, right? And whatever.
Yeah.
See, I hear them then, didn't I? And I do it all the time.
Can
and we all
find,
do...
like, a number, phone number or something for, like... I don't know what you'd Google, but... Mind or something? Can we find a number? I've got to do something. That we
nothing to be done, mate. I'm quite all right by myself.
Oh,
and I'm
brother, you're
happy.
Not. What I can
we're
hear.
Having a good chat, aren't we? But you're spoiling it.
No, I'm not spoiling it. I'm really enjoying. I'm sorry if it's spoiling. I'm really enjoying chatting to you. But can I tell you something I can hear? Because you can read minds. I can read souls, and I can hear the pained screaming of your soul. That's what I can hear.
I cannot hear anything like
that. Yeah, I can hear it, brother. I can hear it, man. And you need to be loved, and you need to be hugged, and you need possibly... you need some kind of medical supervision, man.
Well, you get all sorts of horrible people walking around the air.
Oh, I know you do.
I'm not one of them. I get loads of love.
You're a good soul. You're a good soul. I can tell you're a good soul.
I'm in a bit of trouble, yeah.
You're a good soul, man. I can tell you're a good soul. And I just want the best for you, brother.
Yeah. Well, I don't play no games like you lot.
No, I don't play no games either.
Well, you have to, don't you?
No.
Position,
no,
in.
I don't.
I don't care about that, because I don't care.
You're very... listen, God, it's so obvious to
listen,
hear.
No.
What can I do to help you, Billy?
Well, get Theresa May to call me.
That isn't going to happen, because I don't language. That's a yellow card, man. Don't swear.
Oh, sorry.
You can't swear. Bob Marley Bob Marley died about 40 years ago.
Isn't it? I just don't know what to do. Because, like I say about the genius stuff and all that, right?
I get it.
Not proper, though. And like, I can change flowers' colours. And
oh, brother.
I talk to dogs and cats.
Oh, I talk to dogs and cats.
No, but they
I talk to cats all the time. Talking,
right, no, more than that.
They talk back, though, to you, do they?
That don't matter, though, because that's the only tiny thing. I've not put any thought into that. I've just noticed it recently with a lot of different things.
When was the last time you saw a doctor, man?
Well, a while ago. Put myself in psychiatric ward for a couple of months, but all they do is give you tablets.
Please go back.
No, because they put me in a depressive state, and the people in there are crazy.
Yeah, they are crazy.
Horrible.
I'll give
They're
you that.
Close to suicide.
I'll give you that. They are
there.
Crazy, and a lot of them are close to suicide.
They're lovely people, though. I met some lovely people, and you know what? I changed a lot of lives when I went there, and I said to them, I said, I want to see you lot on the outside doing the same thing.
Please.
I do, 'cause I'm crazy, but I just still go about. You
please
know,
please go back. Too. Please go back.
No, what do you mean go back? That's not good advice.
It is. It's the only. I don't know what good advice is to give you, but that's the only advice I got.
Kill myself.
Huh?
Stephen didn't kill me. I'd kill myself. I went there. You sit in a horrible little bed and you get given tablets. And
mate, horrible. You're not well.
Why am I not well? You're probably more and less well than me because, you know, although you're doing well in life, if you take away your job and everything like that, I don't know how well you'd be doing if you was in a similar situation. I'm dealing with it quite well.
I'd be dealing with it about as well as you are.
You'd freak out. You'd be calling up crying your eyes out.
And what if I was crying my eyes out? There's no problem with that.
You'd call the police and they put me in a cell. I'm scared.
Well, scared of what? What is that? What is out there that
well,
I should be scared of?
Through your window and shooting your head off, man.
Who's put what through your window?
Well, not yet, but, you know, I mean, they can't find me because I move everywhere all the time.
So do you live in your car?
Well, I live in hotels and my car and, you know, obviously I find people at...
So you haven't got a flat or a house or anything that you own or rent or anything?
No.
How long's that been going on for?
A few years. I work out in the country as well. I'm trying to get in touch with someone who can put me in a quiet little corner. And, you know, you get these rich people now who sort of realise life and the world. And they've just got a good understanding of stuff, a good logic and things like that. And they just sort of, you know, work for a little company and turn the profits around or something.
I'm trying to find something like that. I'm quite good with music. I thought, hopefully, I'll make a couple of songs and just live on a beach for the rest of my life. But I've got myself in, you know, like I say, a bit above her. Well, I've not done nothing wrong, and everybody seems to love me loads. I just thought I'd call up about it. I was just listening to your radio, and
nice
thought,
one,
I'd just say hello, you know.
Well, I'm glad you called. I'm glad you called, Billy. You'd be welcome to call any time, fella.
Well, I like to say at the end of every call, shout out to all the gorgeous lads out there. You know I love you.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
All right. Listen, Billy, there's a lot of people going to be concerned about you tonight, man. You look after yourself.
Well, I wouldn't be, because I'm getting pissed and I'm happy, you know. You know, I'm talking about, but I look at Teddy.
But people will be concerned. It's all right saying don't be concerned, but I know
that
people... Well,
be concerned about that last caller there who couldn't even speak properly. And that poor old lady
Billy?
Who's got no heating in her house.
Billy?
Someone send her some money so she can put the radiator on
Billy?
Tonight.
You can't speak properly. None of what you've
well,
said has made sense.
Apologise.
No, there's nothing to apologise for. I just want you to know that you've rambled a lot tonight. And it's been interesting. I've enjoyed it.
I do that. My nan says it.
But it doesn't make sense, man. It makes sense
well,
in your head, but it
I'm
doesn't
in a
make
bit of
sense.
Trouble and, you know.
All right, man.
Hello to all the gorgeous lads. And have a good night. Merry Christmas.
All right. You take care of yourself, Billy. Give us a call again,
and
mate.
You. Okay, bye.
Bye bye. Oh, flipping heck. The heartbreaking thing about that was 30 seconds into it, I knew there was nothing we could do.
No.
I'm asking you to find a number, and what number are you going to find?
Well, Sainer closed, 6 p.m. It's going to be a 111 or a 999. But he'd need to recognise that he's not well, and he doesn't, does he?
Oh, that poor man.
The wild man of late night radio.
The late night alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Who's Steve Johnson on Twitter?
He's just woken up, apparently.
Ian, you prick. It's okay for you to take the pee out of people, but if someone says anything about you, you block them and claim mental illness. I don't. People are rude to me on Twitter. I block them, which I'm entitled to do, Steve. You're entitled to block me as well, if you want. But I don't block them and go, mental illness! Don't. If you have mental illness, which I'm sure you do, don't use it to defend yourself and take the pee out of others. I've responded by calling him a bell cheese and giving him the phone number to call in. So if Steve Johnson phones in, Mark, just whack him straight through. Because I've got absolutely no idea what that gentleman is talking about.
He's a very cross person.
He's got a poppy. He's got the flag. He can't be a... Is he a real person? There is a forgotten, nay, almost forbidden word which means more to me than any other. That word is England. No idea.
Yeah, he's retweeting a video of Tommy Robinson getting applauded.
Lol, look after me, kids. Looking after me, kids, mate, but good luck. Hang on a second. Okay, chicken, go and feed. What do you call baby chickens? Chooks.
Chicks.
Chicks. Chicks. Go and feed the chicks. OK, chicken, go and feed the chicks. Let's go to Alan Caddick. Good evening, Alan Caddick.
Children should be in bed. It's 25 past 10.
Yeah, exactly. Hello, Alan.
Are you all right?
What's wrong with you? Cheer up, come on.
Oh, I'm just a bit annoyed.
Why is it? Because it's 18 years since Rick Danko from the band died.
No, this whole Brexit thing.
Don't be annoyed.
You don't understand it.
If they had a Brexit for Dummies... I would have had the first edition.
Pain me on boys.
Wrong one.
They've cancelled Brexit.
Oh, well, actually, where's it, the way it's going.
Pain me on boys.
Grown man. 25.
Mm. And also,
yes.
We had a proper vote last night.
I don't understand what you're talking about. You being miserable makes it sound even more like you've got a phallus in your mouthus.
All hail King Harry.
What are you talking about, you dribbling loon?
Hey, we're not the new King of the Jungle.
Oh, for God's sakes, man. Okay, great. Who came third?
John Barrowman.
Me and Barrowman. We're in the three club. Three's up with John and Ian. The best people come third, Alan.
Yeah, and I remember him on Live and Kicking.
Okay, that's a great call, Alan. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
There we go. And when I say great, it's one of the worst. That was a lousy call, wasn't it? That was a terrible, terrible call. Speaking of terrible calls, good evening, Susan.
Good evening, Ian. Good evening, Catherine.
And hello.
Hello, can't you say good evening to me, sweetie?
Well, you said good evening twice. I thought we might have used them all up.
Oh, all right, darling. I'll forgive you. I got back from work and I had a note in my electricity box.
Oh, here we go.
Mr. Lover-Lover. Oh, romantic.
No, it wasn't romantic. But before I get on to that...
No. You've just got onto it. Don't set teasers and trails. You've got onto it.
No, teaser trail. I just want to say, I didn't hear. You mentioned a lady called Laura Corley.
Hello?
A time ago. About her niece going missing. And I'm very sorry, I didn't hear Laura when she phoned. But and you've just said that her niece, they think the police have found her.
Yes.
And something dreadful. She's not with us anymore. And I'd just like to send my thoughts and condolences to Laura.
Okay, well, that's very kind of you.
And also...
Please get to the note in the electricity box.
Well, I wanted to talk to somebody else. Can I talk about something else after?
Depends how interesting the note in the electricity box is. I'm losing the will to live here.
It's not interesting.
Then why did you bring it up?
My dusky ex-lover...
I don't think we can call them dusky anymore.
Why? It was beautiful.
Dusky. Can we not say swarthy? Is he swarthy?
No.
He's not swarthy. He's dusky. Dusky just feels...
It's muddling, though.
Okay. The lever of the lock was in the downward position, which means there's a note. So I opened it. The note said, "Hello, darling.
Me want bum-bum with booby lady. Please come and lick."
Stop it.
"Where have you been? If you want me, come and see me. I'm free till 10 p.m. Let me know, baby."
You missed him, baby.
Yeah, no, I was at work.
You missed him, baby. You could have had him, baby.
I don't care. So I put it back in the box with the lever down, and that will indicate I haven't seen it. So he can see.
You're like a grown woman, yeah?
Hmm?
You're a grown woman, yeah?
Well, I think so.
Okay,
yeah.
I just wondered why you were acting like a 12-year-old girl, that's all.
Well, how else do you expect me to act?
Oh, just rip his note up and put it in the bin. Stop putting it in the box with the lever down. You leave your lever alone. I think your box has seen enough action.
No.
Grow up.
Then when he walks past, he'll think I'm out. And
who cares what he thinks? Grow up.
No.
Yes, grow up. At your age.
Well, you could say that to him, putting the note there in the first place.
Oh, listen, please, sir, he did the... Please, sir, he wrote me a note, sir.
I didn't take that attitude with you, Ian.
Well, because I'm not acting like a 15-year-old schoolgirl.
Well, you said what was on the note, and I told you.
Right. Well, just throw it in the bin.
No, because it might be evidence later.
For what?
You never know. You don't know what's around the corner, do you?
Yeah, I do. You're going to go and tell his missus, and I think that's got nothing to do with you.
Well, it's as if I've been shagging him, hasn't it?
No, it hasn't, because you knew the deal. Stop coughing. It doesn't make sense. Stop coughing.
In here.
That's not a thing, is it?
No.
Stop coughing.
Stop it.
I'm cold.
Okay.
The temperature's plummeted and there's no heating in the flat. Now, can I talk to you about something else?
Is it going to be interesting?
Well, yes, because I'm...
Do you count the story about the note as interesting?
I was interested.
Not really. Catherine likes it.
Well, Catherine's got very, very poor taste, made obvious by her knitwear of last week.
My knitwear is absolutely belting, so you can shut it.
Catherine?
Yes. I've got a jumper on with three flying ducks on it, you know, like Hilda Ogden's.
Oh, I know. Beautiful. Have you been to university?
Yes, twice.
Well. What did you study, baby?
The first time, French and Spanish. The second time, broadcast journalism.
Serious?
Yes.
Wow.
There you go.
Ian, that proves Catherine's not stupid. She's very intelligent and very educated and very eloquent.
Yes,
okay?
So chew on that.
Okay.
Wow, you did French and Spanish. Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Are you fluent in those languages?
Yes.
God, this is boring.
Wow.
Why? Because we're not talking about you.
Wow.
He's hearing a lot of words and none of them are Ian.
Wow.
I'm going to exercise my psychic powers.
Go on.
But you know this young lady who's been...
No, 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 no
No, we're not playing that game. Susan, we're not playing that game. What a ridiculous... we're not playing that game, love.
Let's not do that.
What do you want to talk to me about, then?
I don't want you to play psychic powers to talk about a young woman who's been murdered on the other side of the world. That's what a ridiculous thing to suggest.
No, I think about the time when I was travelling on my own as a young girl.
Right. Well, do you not think that maybe that's a little bit tasteless to start talking about psychic powers and horrible things that have happened?
I'm talking about the horrible man I did.
But why? What good is? Why would you want to bring that darkness into this show? This show is about light and love.
You said we can phone about anything.
Yeah, but it's implicit in that is I can call it out if I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. What the bloody hell do you want me to talk about?
I want you to talk about saying goodbye.
God damn you!
There we go.
She's so dramatic. She's so extra.
0344 999 1000. This is Talk Radio.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, last night, I watched a little bit of Mrs. Brown's Boys. I only watched 10 minutes, because it was on, the telly on, it was on. I laughed twice.
What?
I laughed twice.
You sure you want to say this on the radio?
I laughed twice. Not like belly laughs.
When she dropped the F-bomb?
No, I don't like it when she drops the F-bomb. That's I don't get that. I don't even remember what the second one was. The first one was when they did a dance, funny dance.
Ah.
I didn't like... All right, let's reel this in a little bit. Let's not get carried away here. I don't want it to become a Twitter meme. I chuckled twice in over a 10-minute period of Mrs. Brown's Boys.
It's not a bad rate. It's not a bad hit rate.
That's not bad. I don't like the swearing. Don't like this because the F word is funny, man, but you've got to use it very sparingly. You've got to deliver it just to punctuate or just to lift or just to just at the right moment. She says it a lot, and I don't like that. I think that weakens it. And I don't like the fake corpsing. Pete and Dud used to do fake corpsing all the time, and. I know a lot of their corpsing was real. Well, certainly early on their corpsing was real, but then they realised they got bigger laughs for the corpsing that Peter Cook and Dudley Moore than they did for the routines quite often. And so they would just like fake corpse. And there's a lot of that in Mrs. Brown's Boys. And I don't like that. But there was a funny bit when they did a dance. There was something else that made me chuckle. Oh, what was it? It was a line... when she chucked out a tarty woman and she said something, it made me chuckle twice.
Right.
Mrs. Brown's Boys.
Let me just amend your Christmas list.
Uh-oh.
Mrs. Brown da movie.
Da movie.
That's what it's called.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I was thinking? Can I tell you something that popped up? A strange resentment that popped up the other day from nowhere.
Go on.
It just popped up, and I thought, oh, I'd forgotten that resentment. And that resentment is now 18 years old, and it's still there.
Okay.
I was watching, flicking through the channels, right, on the telly, and the trailer for Ali G in the House came up.
Mm-hmm.
About 18 years ago, that must have been made, maybe a little bit less. And I watched the trailer, and I thought, that bastard never asked me to be in it. And that popped up.
Wow.
That popped up. An 18-year-old resentment that I'd forgotten about. He never asked me to be in it. Little walk on part. Would have made perfect sense. There's obviously reasons why he didn't, you know, but that just popped up from nowhere. From absolutely nowhere. Isn't it funny? Mm-hmm. And now it's still floating around a little bit inside me. He never asked me to be in that movie.
That's funny.
A little... Just imagine me behind a desk. Yes, Mr. G. It's through there. That's all
it would have taken.
That's all.
No, it wouldn't, because you'd have gone, he got more lines than me.
Well, it's his movie, you know, but it just popped up from a long-forgotten resentment. Isn't it? Aren't we strange creatures, human beings?
Absolutely.
Strange creatures.
You think you're over something, and then it gets uncorked all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And you realise you've been sitting with it that whole time.
Yeah. Saw the first hour... of a great movie. I went to Amazon Prime today. I was sat on Netflix going, boring, 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 boring. And then, so I went to Amazon Prime and I forgot that I'd put
some movies and some films I wanted to watch at a later date. I thought, oh, let's have a look at those. The first hour of Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
See, I thought I'd seen that film, but I think I've just seen the French and Saunders version.
So, well, exactly. I've seen all the spoofs. So I know the style, the black and white, the sort of bad makeup. So it's Bette Davis and who's the other?
Joan Crawford, isn't it?
Joan Crawford, yeah. With very thick eyebrows.
Oh, yeah, she was famous for that. And Bette Davis, of course, had barely any.
Yeah. Some movie. I thought it was a 40s movie. I got my chronology wrong. So I was expecting a kind of much more stilted 40s. It wasn't. It's 1962. So it's got quite a bit of... There's a loose vibe to
it.
Wild. Yeah. Black and white. Stunning. Great story. I kind of knew... I'd also got the roles the wrong way around. I thought it was Bette Davis who was like the one in the wheelchair. It's not. So Bette Davis was Baby Jane, mm-hmm. the child prodigy and brat. And it opens up with a great scene of this 8-year-old and her dad performing on stage to huge theatre and applause and standing ovations. And this other, the sister, dark-haired, obviously the Joan Crawford one, just staring in the wings. And then they go out to meet the fans and Baby Jane kicks off. I don't want to have a nap, Daddy! And it's great. Then it jumps forward a bit, and Baby Jane has kind of died away, and her sister has become a very famous actress. But she's looking after Baby Jane and says, I will only make movies. Big star. I'll only make movies. You've got to put Baby Jane in movies. And they show a clip from a film, and it's awful. And they're going, we can't do it. Then it cuts to, spoiler alert, Baby Jane crashing a car and crippling Joan Crawford. And then it cuts to them living in this house.
I think I have seen it, yeah.
They're living in this big old house, and Joan Crawford's in a wheelchair upstairs. And Bette Davis is this, and they call her fat in the film. You know, she's overweight for
grotesque, isn't she?
Yeah, grotesque. She's overweight for a former starlet. You know, Joan Crawford's still very slim and beautiful, and she's grotesque. Got like makeup everywhere, thick makeup on, big hair.
It's like me on a weekend.
Oh, it is. And she's a drunk.
It's just like me on a weekend.
And it's great. There's a scene where Joan Crawford's got this like parrot in a cage. And
Bette
Davis comes and goes, I will take the burn cage and I will give it a clean. I don't know what voice she does. It doesn't speak like that. I don't know why I'm doing that. Miss Dubois. And then she comes back a few minutes later and goes, with an empty bird cage. It escaped and flew out the window. Right. And then, like, a few scenes later, she's serving dinner. She's got this lunch under a cloche. Cloche?
Cloche.
Cloche. She puts it down. She goes, eat it or it'll get cold.
Oh, it's going to be something horrible.
And she walks off and she opens it up and it's the parrot. It's so dark. It is so dark. It's brilliant. And I'm sat there going, why have I never watched this? This is incredible.
Watched it. We're going to be living it one day in an old people's home.
Oh, honestly, it's such a good film. And I was thinking, I really wanted last night after the rabbit hole. And then you and I went out for a meal with my sister and her husband, my brother-in-law, because it was their 18th wedding anniversary. We had a really nice Mexican meal.
It's good.
It was nice, wasn't it? I had ribs. It was Sunday, so I could eat meat. And I just wanted to go home. And I didn't do it last night because I ended up watching Mrs. Brown's Boys. But I really wanted to watch a black and white film. I wanted to get home and watch a black and white film. I was thinking of I wanted to watch, because we'd heard it mentioned on that Tim Heidecker podcast, I wanted to watch The Marx Brothers. So I wanted to watch an old black and white film. Sit down and watch a black and white film. And I didn't. So I did it today. Whatever happened to Baby Jane? I'm going to go back and watch a bit tonight because I want to sit in the same room as the kittens. I'll explain more about that later. And they're in the living room for the moment. I don't want to be overwhelmed by the whole house. But I'm going to go back and watch a bit of that and then watch the rest of it tomorrow. It's incredible. And Bette, I don't really know a lot about those old film actress stars from the old days. Because the old films I like, it's blokes, you know, it's Laurel and Hardy, it's the Marx Brothers, it's Harold Lloyd, stuff like that. So I don't really know a lot about that glamorous side of Hollywood. But they're both brilliant at playing has-beens. They're both has-beens in it. And I'm going to read about the film. I know a little bit that they hated each other. But and Bette Davis, in particular, must have found it really hard to play an overweight, hideous old failure.
I don't know about that. I think she did see herself as a character actor. And she did all kinds of things. She played Queen Elizabeth I in quite a grotesque way.
But
Well, Wikipedia.
You've got to read Mommy Dearest. Have you heard of that?
No, what's that?
Joan Crawford's adoptive daughter, Christina Crawford, wrote this tell-all about how horrific it was living with her as a mother. Oh. She was really cruel.
Oh.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's a book about whatever happened to Baby Jane, the making of it. Honestly, I've never seen anything like it. And there's like a sort of slightly hipper family that live next door. The mum's the same age as the two actresses. But there's like a young daughter who kind of watches the film, you know, dresses in hip clothes and was watching the films on daytime TV. We never see her. She lives next door with a fat sister. All we see is the fat one. It's remarkable bit of filmmaking. I know I'm 56 years late to the whatever happened to Baby Jane party. But
welcome.
But welcome.
Take off your coat.
Speaking of films from a long time ago, so we're not doing many shows in January or February. At the moment, we've got one. We're doing a few in March, but at the moment, we've got one booked in January, live shows. We're not doing any now until January the 25th, okay, which is another Rabbit Hole Picture Show, which tickets... do you know what? I've not put it on my website yet. So if you go to ticket-text.co.uk, type in Rabbit Hole Picture Show, you find it. But tickets will be on sale soon. They are on sale now. So we're showing on the 26th of January, I think, the Saturday, in King's Cross, we're showing Weird Science.
Yes.
Weird Science, electric boobs and plastic tubes. We're showing that, right?
And you can wear a bra on your head if you want.
Yeah, well, I'm wearing a bra on my head.
Definitely.
And we're going to watch it because, it's a funny film, but also I want to see... Kath and I both suspect that in the... I hate the phrase, but I'm going to say it because it's shorthand. In the hashtag MeToo era, which doesn't mean anything, what it means is in 2018, when things have changed a lot, thank God, we're both curious as to how much the comedy is going to stand up.
Yeah.
And whether it's going to be seen as a little bit rapey. And I'm convinced there is a slightly racist scene
there
as well. They go to a black club.
Yep.
A black club. And they speak patois. And they may even smoke a J. So we're keen to see that. Now, here's the thing. Weird Science came out in 1985, I think. So that means next year. Can you Google that? Just check that's right. That feels a little early for me.
Right.
85 feels a little early. No, maybe it's right.
1985.
Right. So that means next year when we show it, it's going to be 34 years old. Okay. So next year we're showing a 34-year-old movie. Right. Go back to 1985. And what if we'd shown if in 1985 we'd shown a film that was 34 years old? Mm-hmm. 1951, is that right?
Hang on,
I think that's 1951. That takes us to
34.
Yeah, 51. Okay. That film is ancient, man. That is an ancient...
Yeah, so actually, no wonder, and thankfully, things have changed things have progressed.
But that is an ancient movie we're showing. 34 years.
It's vintage. It's when you talk to, like, people you work with, right? We've got 20-somethings working here.
Kids. Look, one out there, look, got a teenager working with us.
And
she's got great hair.
And they think the 90s is vintage. I'm dressing 90s style. I remember dressing 70s style, and my dad saying, "What are you doing?" It's like yesterday. What are you playing at?
I mean, when I worked out, I was 35 years old. I went, "No. I've got that wrong. It's 20. It's got to be 20. It can't be more than 25. It's 35 years old. We're old, man."
Well, I was only 6 when it came out. I'm not that old.
Anyway, that's happening. I'll tweet a link for that now. Actually, if you follow me on Twitter, you want to get it. A quarter of the tickets are gone already, so
it's going to be a belter.
Yeah, it is. We'll try and get a special guest as well. So I'm going to tweet that now. If you follow at Ian Lee, I'll tweet a link for that. George and Alistair, stay there. We'll come to you in a second. 0344 499 1000, The Late Night Alternative. Ian Lee, Catherine Boyle, Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee. On air and off the leash. On Talk Radio.
Thanks. Loads of people tweeted me this story, but actually I saw this story myself. Russian boffins are claiming they've got the best robot ever, right? And it's at some kind of science expo, and it's this robot, and it can dance, and it can talk, and it can do all of this kind of stuff, and its movements are so realistic, so human-like. And then it was on a news bulletin, and talking to some students, and these students were impressed, but the camera was unfortunately shooting from sort of behind and to the side, and The helmet wasn't quite big enough. You could see skin under there.
You could see skin and hair.
You could see a neck and you could see some hair. There was a bloke in there. There was a bloke in the
room. There was obviously a bloke in there from the way it was, quote unquote, dancing. It was dancing like a bloke in a suit.
What were they thinking? What were they trying to... Who were they... Well, they were trying to... I think apparently these robots are for sale as well. But do you get the man that comes with it?
But he comes from... Then it transpires he comes from like an... he comes from an entertainment background. Like, he goes and does parties like that.
So was this a scam then? This is a joke then?
I don't know whether it was... they're saying that they never meant to come across like he was a real robot. People just assumed it. But it was at a tech conference. So I think it's an understandable mistake. They did give a talk about him.
Oh, man. Here's the thing about robots. They're crap. Bought my son a robot. Excuse me. I bought my son a... Let me correct myself. I bought my son a robot last year. This year, my youngest son is getting a robot from Father Christmas. Thank you very much indeed. And it's the one it's the one that's kind of doing the adverts. It's a truck and it can lift and you can control it on your phone and download an app and stuff like that. Of course,
so it's like the modern version of Big Tracks.
Yeah. Of course, in the adverts, it looks huge. It's about... the size of that mouse.
Oh.
It's probably a little bit smaller than that mouse. It's not a right... Well, it's arrived in the North Pole. It is tiny. And it won't do anything. It would be rubbish, you know. The robot my boy got last year, that's a bit rubbish, you know. But he really wants it. And I'm in a position, luckily enough, where I can communicate directly with Father Christmas. And it can be sorted.
My girls always want those kind of, you know, walking... crawling babies and walking dogs and things, but we've got carpet. I said, so what are you going to see in the kitchen?
I've got wood in the floor and the boys have got flooring boards at home. But also as well, I know that a lot of this stuff that we buy is crap. I'm happy to keep that tradition going. You don't spend thousands on the boys. We spend what we can afford. Spend a little bit less than we could afford, actually. We could afford to spend quite a lot more on them, and we don't. And I know a lot of it is crap, but...
They're little, right?
They're little.
And I get it. You know, having seen my 10-year-old, we went to see Father Christmas again this year, and it's not just to kind of go in and sit next to him and have your picture taken. They have a whole kind of workshop thing going on, and they sing songs and stuff with elves. And my youngest was bang into it, as she always is. And the great thing is, I mean, obviously, it's the same Father Christmas every year.
Yeah,
so we've got photographic proof it's the same fella. My eldest wasn't as into it this year. She was a bit kind of embarrassed and self-conscious. And so that time when Christmas is...
Don't last.
..is a kind of, you know, free-for-all and it's nuts and magical and stuff.
You get eight years.
If that.
If you're lucky.
If that. Unless you get a bigger kid ruining it.
And also as well, here's the thing as well. You know, the kids are going through a divorce. So, of course, what do parents do? We buy stuff. We know that's not the solution. We know that's not going to solve any spiritual void in their life. But you buy stuff because you think, I want to do something physical that will improve their lives. I'm going to buy stuff. Of course, I know that. My wife knows that. The boys know that isn't, having more plastic around them isn't going to solve anything. But it feels like a short-term... I feel guilty about the fact that my marriage has ended. So one of the ways that we as humans try and assuage our guilt,
good word.
Thank you, is buying stuff. And it's nuts and it doesn't make any logical sense, but that's what we're doing. But also, the boys are going to have... our kids are lucky, so they're now going to have kind of two Christmases. They're going to have a great Christmas with my wife and are going to see her family. Then they're going to come to me for a few days and my sister's going to come over.
Christmas part deux.
Christmas part deux. So, and you know, we talk to them and we explain that Christmas isn't... But they're kids, man. Let them enjoy Christmas. Let them enjoy it. That's what I say. I don't know quite what the point of that was, but I was getting somewhere. Good evening, Josh.
Hello.
Hello, Josh.
Hello. Sorry, you'll excuse me. I'm a little bit nervous. First time calling in. Been listening for a while and all that.
Hey, nice one, man. Well, thank you for picking up the phone, and it's appreciated. And I'm nervous every night because I'm worried that Catherine's going to spit at me, as she often does.
Wow.
It's true. But it's nice to talk to you, man. What do you want to say?
Oh, well, I mean, Sorry, you have to excuse me. I'm walking home, so there might be a little bit of noise in the background.
Are you drunk?
No, I've just finished work.
Oh, okay. Right. Quite often we get the drunk...
The pub walk.
Yeah, the pub walk.
Oh, I know. I hear that a lot.
Right.
But I normally listen, because I work shift work, sometimes I listen to the show live, sometimes I listen to the podcast, but I've been listening since, I think it was the Adam Buxton podcast you were on.
Oh, gosh.
I'm sure you were on that.
That was, yeah, well, that was 2 years ago, mm-hmm. I think now, wasn't it, coming up to? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, I remember hearing you on that, and kind of picked up listening from there.
But hey, nice
I kind
one.
Of
Thank
wanted
you.
To... The thing is it's been a bit of a weird year for me. It's been a great year in ways. I got married this year, and all that kind of nice stuff. But it was also a year where I realised I was maybe not as mentally well as I thought I was.
Yeah.
And one of the things that helped me kind of realise it was this show. I'm actually from Dunstable. I'm currently living in Luton, but that is not really any better. But no.
Be careful. I think you're about to get mugged by a moped rider. I can hear something. Imagine if the phone got snatched off him then.
Gosh.
I know.
It didn't.
A thing came through my door from the Bedfordshire Wellbeing Service.
Yeah. Oh.
And it was like a flyer. And that was one of the things that prompted me to pick up the phone and speak to somebody. I've been through a course of CBT, which honestly was not really for me. It was a group session, which,
yeah.
Considering when they kind of like when I had my triage call and they went through my scores, and one of the things I kind of suffer with is anxiety, specifically social anxiety.
So, when they put you in a group.
Wow.
I was like, cool, thanks for that.
Just imagine them writing that down and going, yeah, never mind, let's just ignore that bit.
Oh, mate, I'm sorry.
No. But, I mean, it was a victory for me because I managed to get through it.
Yeah,
so.
Well done.
And I've been on medication for the last 3 weeks, and it's just started to maybe have a positive impact on me.
They say it takes about 3 weeks. They say 3 weeks is kind of the turning point in terms of pills kicking in.
Yeah, so I had like a check-up this morning before work with the doctor and just kind of decided to carry on for a little while and see what happens.
Hey, nice one, man. Well, that sounds like a very sensible plan. You got a leaflet through the door from the council about...
Yeah, it was like...
Wow,
that's
great.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really good thing. It wasn't the thing that prompted me to... It wasn't the thing that made me realise I had issues.
No, but still.
It was kind of... I've played in bands since I was, like, 15. And so I've always kind of made my own music and recorded whatever. And I kind of looked back at some of the stuff I wrote at the end of last year and went, well, that sounds like somebody who's not in a good place.
Oh, man.
I was like, yeah. And then, like, there were some changes at work and I kind of took a week off work and didn't really know why I wasn't able to go to work. I didn't really know why I wasn't able to get up and physically go. And I think it was just, you know, a culmination of a lot of years. I think I've had a lot of anxiety and depression for years, but I've never really looked at it. I just assume that's what everybody felt
like. Do you know
what?
That's an excellent way of describing it, of I couldn't get up, but I didn't know why.
Yeah.
That's a great way of describing the ennui, the melancholy, you know.
Oh, definitely.
And it's
definitely.
Easy, and I can completely get
is
why...
Is this your water?
Yeah, can I have some help yourself. I can completely get why you don't realise until you hear hearing someone else mirroring it, because it's not like one day you were fine and the next day you felt crap. You go, this is different. It's a slow decline, isn't it? You sort of drift into it.
It is. And the thing is as well, I found, and I know I don't want to be all woe is me, because as a white male, I'm pretty much the most privileged group there is. But as a man, it's very difficult to talk about mental health sometimes. And I've always found, because I'm about as beta male as you can get. I find that I've always found talking about these things with women a lot easier, and just I kind of force myself to put up a big post on Facebook just to kind of rid myself of the shame of it. I still feel
wow, well done.
A bit of shame now and again.
But the shame is also, but it's, shame is slightly, part of it is societal, and partly that's the disease is shaming you. It wants you to keep quiet. It wants you to stay quiet, because if you start making a noise about it, then you're on the road to getting well.
Exactly.
Josh, I have to go because I'm late for the news. But
cool.
you got married this year. Is everything going all right there?
Yeah, wonderful.
Wicked.
Wonderful. Been together 10 years.
Oh,
this
man.
Year.
Brilliant. Hey, thanks so much for giving us a call, Josh. Call again, won't you?
I will do. Thank you.
Thank you, man. Bye bye. What a nice guy. Got a leaflet from the council. That's incredible. What a nice bloke. Thank you, Josh. This is the Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio. This is some album, Dave, the ruthless top Trumps player. This Bob Stanley, Pete Wiggs present the State of the Union. Man, it's a record. Oh, we're going to hear Mel Torme writing a divorce letter later on. Yes! Good evening, dear listener. The Late Night Alternative. Who are you?
Catherine Boyle. Oh, what is that noise? This is my
phone. Hey, Google. Hang on. Hey, Google. Sorry. Hey, Google. Hey, Google. Could you switch noise off, please? Okay, switched it. Done. Simple as that.
Really?
Yeah, switched off. Noises switched off.
So we're never going to hear that noise again?
Any more noises during the show now. Okay, it's very, very simple. The noise is now switched off. Right, it's done. It's gone. Just spoke to it. Spoke to the phone. This is what you can do now. So speak to the phone, because I'm not listening.
Oh.
So can we just kick... So I'm confused, okay? Right. Again, this isn't really a Brexit kind of show. But. The news then was incredible. You didn't hear the news because you were coming back and forth. So there are now enough people have said that they think Mrs. May smells of farts that there might... This could trigger... That she could... I don't know what this means. Again, this is how... Everything is so complicated and I'm an idiot, right? So the 1922 committee, which is named after the... is the centenary year of Jacob Rees-Mogg being born. So they've now received enough, the 48 letters saying that Theresa May smells and they don't want her to be the Prime Minister anymore. So that does that mean that there will now be a vote in British Parliament to say, yay, we like Theresa May. We think she smells okay. Yay, we like Theresa May. We think she smells okay. Or I don't know what it means. What does it mean?
I think there'll be a vote.
But I also think
that she can't sustain now. She's going to have to resign, isn't she?
I bet she wished she'd stayed in that car. I've got no idea. This is the weirdest thing. Everything is collapsing. We're screwed, by the way, guys. We're all screwed. Not me. Like I said, I got a few quid in the bank. I'm all right. I'm just battening down the hatches. Pray that my mortgage doesn't increase exponentially. And I'm just keeping my head down. You guys are screwed, pretty much. And my kids are screwed. But, you know, those guys drew a picture of Father Christmas on their Pizza Express children's menu today, and he had a cock and was weeing. So screw those guys and boobs. So screw those guys. He did. So what's this? He had a penis. He had testicles. He was urinating and he had boobies.
Well, you'd use a different colour and everything.
Pizza Express. Anyway, I taught them a new swear word today. Because I feel in
said proudly.
I am, because my boys, they come to me with these new swear words. And I'm thinking, A, I've got the currency. I've got some great swears I could give them. They're going to be 7 and 9 in January. But I really want to give them the C-bomb. But I can't arm them with that. I can't give them a nuclear bomb.
You can't weaponise those kids.
So they know F, they know S. They know bloody. And a crap. Well, now they know the P word, thanks to yours truly. I gave it to them. It's my Christmas, early Christmas gift. Here's a swear word. P. What? What's that mean? So I says it's like, well, you know, S means poo, P means we. Then I recorded them saying it, and I sent it to you, Catherine.
I mean, ever the proud dad.
So proud of them. What is happening? All right, and also, so here's the thing. There's two big news stories. There's that and there's the shooting in Strasbourg. I suspect that that's going to stay as it is. I don't want to say it's going to stay small, because I think at least a couple of people have died, I think. So that's a huge, huge tragedy for those people involved and their families, of course. That's huge. Whoa.
Oh, there's that noise that we weren't going to hear.
Hey, Google. Hang on a second. Sorry, let me just... Hey, Google. Turn off the noise on my phone, please. It's done it! It's done it! It's done it! okay, volume, okay, volume zero.
Well, let's wait and see.
The pestle with the vessel. Now, I couldn't do that. I suspect that story in Strasbourg is that that's going to be it, and that it will not get bigger. But if it does, of course, we'll go to that. Of course, we will. Okay. I would genuinely love, and I'm not playing dumb, I would genuinely love someone to phone in and tell me what this means. The 48 votes to the 1922 committee. This is 2018, guys, and we're talking in riddles. Our future is being decided in riddles. So there are two doors, and one of the doors tells the truth, but the other one tells a lie. Which one do you go through? Huh? That's what it feels like we're dealing with here. And now I've said that, I can't remember which door you go, what you're allowed to ask one question. Actually, forget the Theresa May thing. Let's do this again, because we've done this before. I can't remember. So there are two doors, and on one door is certain death, and the other door you'll live. One door tells the truth. The other door lies. You don't know which is which. You're only allowed to ask one question. What is the question? Isn't it...
What would he say?
Okay. Well, first of all, you're giving the doors gender.
Well, I saw Labyrinth. They were blokes.
Okay, so...
Well, they've got
keyholes, but then they've also got knobs. Yeah. But, okay, so what does that? So how does that give you the right answer?
Don't know.
Seems to make sense
in the film. I don't know.
Okay, all right. Well, maybe. So we've got a lot on the table tonight, and we've got a lot of men phoning in, which is great news for
men.
Because I'm thinking of going gay tonight. Got a lot to talk about. Coming off these pills, right? But everyone, you know, I'm banging on about these antidepressants, is venlafaxine. Mark, Tom, Stephen, Michael, Caddick, stay there. We'll come to you.
Sausage party, girls.
Coming off these pills for ages, right? And I was on 150 milligrams and we halved it to 75 milligrams. Then we halved it. I say, wait, me and my doctor, we halved it to one every other day. And now I have, today is the second time. Okay, so last week I had a pill on Thursday, didn't have one Friday, didn't have one Saturday. So that's 2 days, had one Sunday. It's the biggest gap I've had. So if I follow that pattern, I'm supposed to have one tomorrow. But I am tripping my balls out.
By the way, guys, we just have to re-underline, this time in red pen. This is not a how-to.
This is all done
with Ian's doctor in Ian's case.
Everyone who's saying on Twitter, I hope you're doing this with medical supervision. Why are you coming off them? There's no shame being on them. Hey, if you were a diabetic, you'd be taking medicine forever. Don't just suddenly stop, man. I'm tapering. And it's driving me crazy. But I reckon I can do this. If I sound a little bit frantic... my tongue isn't quite doing what I want it to do. Let's just go through the symptoms, right? I've been crying a lot today. Been very argumentative, but recognising it and so sucking it in. Crying a lot. My tongue isn't quite doing what I want it to do. My temples are ready to explode. Temples of doom. I'm saying, sort of connecting random words together that in my head sound funny. Then when they come out, it sounds boring. And there's, like, grey all around my peripheral vision, and my eyes hurt. It's like there's a ferret burrowing in my eyes. So that's where I am. But also it means I feel, to quote Billy from last night, I feel like a genius. It's that kind of, yes, I'm going to conduct the orchestra now, madam. Give me that baton. So that's where we are. So tonight's show could be a little bit sparky. Let's take some calls. Let's go to Tom. Good evening, Tom.
Hello.
Hello, Tom.
Hey, Al.
Hey, yeah. What you got for us, Tom?
Yeah, I just heard you talking about, like, depression and all that. And I've actually, I was actually calling up to do this, but recently, well, not recently, within, like, a year and a half,
yes.
I've been suffering quite badly.
Uh-oh.
I was just wondering how you actually went to, like, counselling, how you actually got to that stage where you admitted that you had a problem.
Oh, here's the thing. I'm not afraid to talk, Tom, and I've been to counselling for years and years and years, on and off, and I've seen various different people, and some have been amazing, and a couple have been... But there was one that wasn't great, actually, at all. And I'm in a very fortunate position, Tom, that I guess I started counselling... We weren't living in Muswell Hill when I went and saw Hillary. it was for about the last 18 years, and I've kind of had a few quid for the last 18 years, so I'm lucky enough that I can afford to go private. And I had absolutely no qualms about going to counselling when I couldn't stop crying and hated myself. And my girlfriend at the time said, "Do you think maybe you might be depressed or something?" And I went, "Yeah, I think I could be." I have no qualms about going. So where are you at the moment? What's your situation, dude?
Oh, right now, honestly, it's just a bit of, I don't know if you know what it is, but it's like depersonalization.
Go on, what is that?
It's pretty much where you don't feel like you exist. It's okay. A bit odd.
Yeah.
I haven't really heard it being brought up in the main media or anything. So that's why I feel kind of like solitude. A bit scary.
Yeah.
When I talk to myself, distract myself, it just feels a lot better. When I talk to people like you, they just want to find like people like you because you're very level-headed and why I listen to you so much.
I think Catherine's pulling faces at that statement.
No, I mean, you know your stuff.
Sorry?
And you are stuff.
I am stuff. Have you been to a doctor?
No, not really.
Why not?
I don't know, it's just like the stigma of being like, I don't know, it's just, it makes you feel a bit weak, doesn't it? Like,
no.
That's what you feel.
No, no. Why should it make you feel weak?
Yeah, I know, exactly.
There's no stigma. Here's the thing, the stigma now is compared to 20 years ago, is nothing, right? And here's some dicks on Twitter who go, "Hey, man up, Snowflake. Come on, you cuck. Man up. You disgrace." There'll be a few of those people.
Yeah, but then read the rest of their stream.
Yeah, they're the kind of people that went to see Tommy Robinson give a speech at the weekend, for God's sakes. They're the kind of people, when Nigel Farage was on Good Morning Britain this morning, mouthing off, they loosened their pyjamas and started playing with themselves. Those are the kind of people that would call us snowflakes, for crying out loud.
That's so true.
So don't worry about the stigma. Don't worry. More people are supportive of this kind of stuff than ever. And we, Tom, we need to be the bold warriors that step in to the arena of battle if we feel up to it. And then when we don't feel up to it, we're allowed to go back to bed. But no, man, go and see a doctor. Speak to your friends about it. Talk to people. Here's the thing, right? It's a disease of isolation, anxiety, mental health issues. It's a broad umbrella, but they are disease. It's a disease of isolation, and it will lie to you. And you know, its ultimate game is to kill you, right? It's a fatal disease. Its ultimate game is to kill you, and it will do that eventually. So the way to start beating that is to take it out of it, the dark little corner it lives in, and put it in the sunlight, and tell people. What am I talking about? You know this because you're speaking to me about it.
Yeah.
You know this. You're speaking on Britain's most listened to late night radio show about this. That's a huge thing to do, man. Congratulations. Isn't it? I can't listen to that about 8 times in a row. It's getting his secretary to write a letter to his wife saying he's leaving her. And then while she's writing it, he thinks, "Ooh, you're a fine-looking secretary, Maria."
And she's handy.
Maybe we should go out for dinner. There's a couple of these songs. This is a great album. Bob Stanley and Pete Week present the State of the Union. It's great. Every song on there is about America in crisis. It's divorce, it's broken families, it's Bing Crosby questioning whether we should be going to the moon or not. It's about Vietnam, and it's a lot of established artists. The Dean Martin song. Let me just play the beginning of the Dean Martin song because it's Do You Believe This Town? They're all that that Matt Monro song. Come with us, run. You know, it's him trying to make a social comment. It's all people of that ilk, but Americans trying to make social commentary. Hang on, I can't talk. Do you believe this town? Hang on. Listen to the beginning of this, and it's just him doing it in Dean Martin's. It's Dean Martin's voice doing it. Listen to this. This is brilliant. This is great.
Oh, the woman next door's gone to the PTA and stopped to see her best friend's husband on the way. The folks down the street have a different faith, so everybody's putting them down. Do you believe this town?
Do you believe this town? This is next verse is great.
Deacon Jones preaches brotherly love every Sunday, and forecloses loans on widows' homes every Monday. But the smart guys say it's the only way to keep the economy sound. Do you believe this town?
He's talking about keeping the economy afloat by foreclosing on widows' homes. It's Dean Martin. That's not, hey, brother, pour the wine. That's not sweet memories are made of this. Is this Dave? Dave, is it you who got me? Is it you? Are you the Dave that got me this?
Yeah, two nights in a row ringing up. I'm going to be a regular.
Mate, but this, honestly, this album is getting played to pieces. I'm thinking of buying it. I'm going to send a copy to my mate Scott because he would love
it. That's what I've done. I say I bought about three or four copies for Christmas.
It's I'm going to play the at midnight. I'm playing Cherry Stones.
Oh yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
And then, yeah. That chorus, oh, man, it's some record,
I mean, you're
man.
You're right about the Matt Munro thing. That's when I first started listening to it. I thought, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
It's that sort of, you know, hey, kids, I'm with the kids, where, you know, it's all free love and, you know.
But I've ordered the, there's a great Sinatra track in here, The Train, and it's from an album, and I can't remember the name of the album, but it's one I'd heard of before. It was the album that he recorded, I think, in 68, I want to say.
Yeah, and then he retired, didn't he?
Yeah, and no one bought it. No one bought the album. Apparently it's great. No one bought it at all. And so he went, oh, I'm going to retire. And so he retired for like 5 or 6 years, then made one of his many comebacks. But the whole album, it's like a middle-aged album. It's all about divorce and families breaking up and being miserable. And I'm like, yeah, I'll have some of that. That's me. That's me right now. I'll have that one, Frankie Boy. Apparently, it's a cracking record. It's like a lost gem that just no one was interested in Frank Sinatra in 1968. You know, it's not the Rubber Tree Plant. So, no, this is some record, Dave. Thank you.
OK. I rang up... I can't remember the guy who was on first tonight, the guy who said...
that was Tom.
He was a bit trouble. Yeah. Sort of struck a chord with me, and I hope he's still listening. I've been on medication for about 20 years. I think I've had anxiety of some form all my life.
I can actually help that anxiety now. Just hang on 1 second. Here we go. Here's the Armenian flute instantly reduce. It's scientifically proven to reduce anxiety levels by up to 26%. So it's my pleasure. That's my pleasure, Dave.
Yeah.
Absolutely my pleasure.
So it sort of disappeared during my teens and then came back. And when I was about 24, it sort of all crashed in on me. I ended up in a clinic and stuff.
Oh, wow.
But after that, it got better. But I've always had a problem with like what they call social anxiety now, and crowds and public transport and generally going out anywhere. And I had a sort of an epiphany when I went to a podcast you've done, actually, the Richard Herring one.
Oh yeah,
the one that Stephen Fry did. I don't know if you've heard that one.
I haven't heard that one, but you know, I'm aware of it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one at the end. I'm a big fan of Stephen Fry. I mean, when Fry and Laurie, when I was a teenager, they were fantastic. And at the end, he was asked by a question by the producer's son, which was, what's it like being Stephen Fry?
Ooh.
And he sort of said about the good bits where people have really nice come up to him and stuff like that. And then he talked a bit about his bipolar, and he talked about how it affects his life and how, you know, everything. And it just struck me of how open and you could have heard a pin drop in the room.
Yeah.
What was quite interesting was that even though that happened in a room, it didn't really come out until because he'd never spoken about it. He told us about a suicide attack.
Oh yeah, that was big news, that wasn't it? That got in all the papers and stuff.
Yeah, but the interesting thing, it didn't get into the papers until that podcast. No one went to the no one went to the papers. No one did anything in that room. They just thought, this is a respectful thing where
you know, he said this, but it's not for...
It's not up to us to share it.
Yeah, exactly. So no one did, which I thought was really interesting. But it just made me realise that I should be a lot more open about my own sort of struggles with anxiety. And the thing that really it gets to you about social anxiety is that it's that thing of it makes a complete liar out of you.
Yeah.
In that you make excuses for everything, whether it be going places, doing stuff. I mean, I used to say, rather than do something, I couldn't go. I could have gone, but it's just that I wasn't mentally up to it.
You'd make excuses.
Oh, yeah, but it's compounding everything. You'd make excuses not for going on public transport, not for going to gigs, not for going to everything. And in the end, your world just shrinks down to nothing, near enough, which it near enough did for me. But I found first I wrote a blog just to get it all out to, out of my head. But then I just told people about it, and then you realise how many people have got similar situations. But not just that, it's just, and as you said to him at the start, once you share these things, you're amazed how easier it becomes.
Yeah.
If anyone's got any problems like that, particularly sort of things they think, it'll feel weak if I tell anybody about it, or my friends will laugh at me, or they won't understand. Well, some of them might not, because they're arseholes.
Yeah.
But a lot of them will, and if they do care about you, they'll stick by you, and they'll look out for you, and they'll say, yeah, don't worry, we'll look after you if anything goes wrong. Nothing will go wrong, but it's better that it's problem shared. It's,
Dave,
cliche.
Dave, do you want to fight me?
Yeah.
I would like to fight you. I think I would like... I'm just listening to you, and what you're saying is great, right? It's not because of what you're saying, but I'm just getting the vibe thinking, I'd like to fight this guy. I'd like, actually, not...
You've seen my car, that's why.
You weirdo. We laughed at your car before we realised it was your car. But I would like to fight you. I'd actually like to fight you.
I think it's a fair match.
Me and Kath watched a bit of... what was that? What was it we were watching? It wasn't mixed martial arts. Remember those...
No, it was cage fighting.
We watched some cage fighting.
But there wasn't really much fighting. There was a lot of squeezing and sitting on.
There was a lot of shoving their faces in the other one's bum.
And I also couldn't work out the undercarriage.
I used my secret weapon.
I couldn't work out the undercarriage situation. I think they've got some sort... They must have some sort of...
They've got to have a box.
Yeah.
But I would like to do cage fighting with you, Dave.
That'd be interesting, yeah. Yeah, we can do it. Next rabbit hole, we can do it. At the top.
You're up for it?
Yeah,
He's up for it. That deserves a round of applause.
You see me play top trumps,
He's going to kill you. I've seen the fire in his eyes.
All right, Dave. Yeah. Listen, you're a good man, but I look forward to
destroying you. Yeah.
Destroying you in. I'm not even going to make any of the jokes about battering you in the ring because that's lame. It's not the 90s. I look forward to destroying you in a respectful, naked cage fight.
Like men, yeah.
Yeah, like men do. Thank you, Dave. There we go, you see.
Closing time conversation for tax inspectors, taxi drivers and taxidermists. Great big talk for the wee small hours.
You've been trolling me big time, mate.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Hang on a second. Someone who, a photographer in California I've worked with, is a nice guy. Come visit me in California. I'll turn you on to the finest medical cannabis there is. I replied, well, as a recovering addict, as delicious as that sounds, I'll have to pass. Thank you. Thanks very much. Switchboard's empty for the first time in an hour and 17 minutes. So me and Kath can breathe a little easier. But that does mean if you call up now, you'll speak to Mark, you'll get straight on. Very, very simple. If you're a new listener, we're getting so many new listeners. There's no question, there's no kind of talking point, although I'm still hoping that someone can explain to me what the hell is going on in politics. Does that mean that Theresa May could be out? Well, it does mean she could be out. Mm-hmm. The 1922 committee has had 48 letters saying we don't like her, but all that means is that if she were them, there's then like a vote in the House of Commons.
There's a vote, yeah.
And if they vote her out, the Tories are still in power, but they just pick Jacob Rees-Mogg or somebody to sit in and take over. There doesn't have to be a general election. I think. And I know that Labour Don't Labour, didn't they say today that they want to have a vote of no confidence tomorrow?
In the government.
In the government. And that would trigger a general election.
Because that would be a cross-party thing. He'd have to go and get support from all the whole
House. So this
House.
Is now everybody's now... I mean, everybody's been fighting, but now everybody is... It's like capture the flag, to bring it into a gaming reference. Everybody is now trying to grab the flag and go, I got it first!
Battle Royale.
Got it, Battle Royale. Now, what was it? Did you see? And by the way, well done to the gentleman who called him out for looking like Jeff Lloyd. The MP that grabbed the mace.
Yeah.
He did look like Jeff Lloyd, didn't he? But I don't understand why that was... Obviously, I guess it's rude to walk up in the Houses of Commons, House of Parliament, and grab the mace. But everyone... Did you see this at home, dear listener? Everyone went nuts. All the MP... Oh, no, no! It all kicked off.
And Blackrod took it back and marched it back to its position.
And he got kicked out, I think. I don't know what it means. Is he saying that the government isn't fit for purpose? What is the message? And if you know this, dear listener, this is a question. We don't normally do questions, but this is a question. And I'll give the number in a second. What is the secret message when you go and grab the mace and walk out with it? I'm assuming you're saying government isn't fit for purpose. I don't know. Here's the phone number. You can call in about this. Or anything you want. And we're talking a bit about mental health tonight, as we do from time to time. That's cool. If you want to just talk about nonsense, you can. Don't talk about share, you can. The phone number, very simple, free for most people, pennies at most. You'll speak to Mark. Take about 2 minutes to get through. You'll speak to Mark. He'll take your name and number. Won't even ask what you want to say. Calls you straight back. Boom, you'll be on the air, because there's no one queued up at the moment. So, the phone number is 0344... 499-1000. 0344. Mark's assuming the position. He's getting ready. I suspect you may have a little wait. Yeah, Mark. 0344. But at least he's looking in the right direction, unlike some of the people who fill Sam's seat. Trust me. 0344-499-1000 is the phone number. There we go. Were we talking about something? Were we? I don't remember.
Whatever.
I don't remember. I had a revelation today.
Go on.
An absolute revelation. I got something. He's banned. It's John.
Of course it is.
I'm all right. We're not that desperate. I had a revelation today about something. And it was like, oh, yeah. And I think it's a chemical thing. But it also makes great sense to me. So first, and this story kind of ties in with it by coincidence, but I'd made the revelation for this. So, it's one of Shakespeare's most highly cherished plays, a racy and hilarious look at the Battle of the Sexes set in 16th century Italy. It sounds brilliant.
Is it Much Ado About Nothing? Because that's my favourite.
That's my only one I like, and no, it's not set in Italy.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
I don't think it is. Okay. It's set in a garden.
Oh, yeah, but it's...
Okay, who are the two protagonists?
Beatrice and Benedict.
Excuse me?
Beatrice and Benedict.
Okay. Name the third protagonist.
Don John the Bastard Brother.
Watch your language! Okay. That was my audition piece. Was a. Excuse me, I'm talking. Zip. Yep. I can see the teeth close. I can see you pulling faces behind that closed mouth. Relax the face. I want a blank face.
You're not in charge of my face.
I will be.
God. Weirdo. In many ways, this is like Much Ado About Nothing, isn't it? Because another way of saying Much Ado About Nothing is a load of balls.
Your language tonight.
But you know that there's a double meaning of that, Much Ado About Nothing.
Of course I do, but why don't you tell me?
Go on, you tell me.
You tell me first. Okay, what do you mean?
Oh, I thought you knew what I meant.
You're not speaking English, clearly.
I am.
All I know is that a Benedict piece from that was my audition piece.
Mm-hmm.
And if I think long and hard enough, I can probably remember it.
That's a jade trick. I know you were
bold. I do it. This can be no trick. That's the first line. I'm in. Okay.
This is when he thinks that she loves him.
This can be no trick. The conference was sadly born.
Because he was up in the tree listening.
He was behind a tree in my version. Right. I haven't done that for 25 years. This can be no trick. The conference was sadly born. Shakespeare. This is me quoting Shakespeare. I'm like Dofton Adebayo.
Wow.
So, please.
Much ado about no thing.
Yeah, nothing.
Yeah, but no thing.
Yeah, nothing.
What does that mean?
It means nothing.
No penis.
Oh, all right, mate. Let's just say...
It's a play on words.
It's not, actually.
It is.
No, it's not.
It is.
It's not, though.
It totally is.
Because you studied it in the 90s.
Yeah, and I got A-level English.
Okay, well, I studied it in the 80s.
I don't think you really studied
it properly. I was a little bit closer to when it was actually written.
Oh, wow.
Let's go to James before we do this, because I think we need a little buffer. We need a little buffer break betwixt. Good evening, James.
Hey, Ian. How you doing? Hi, Carl.
Hello.
That's none of your business.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
But so, what do we owe the pleasure?
Well, I heard you talking about the mace, and I noticed this as well, because they all got outraged.
Yeah.
And I thought, of all the things that are going on at the minute, particularly yesterday, why is that such a big deal? So I looked it up. And it's the mace is an integral part. It's a traditional parliament thing. But if the mace is removed from parliament, it means they can't debate and they can't vote. So it means basically...
Aren't we stupid?
That's why he grabbed it, because he could shut the place down. If he walked out of that place and, I don't know, went to cash in the attic or whatever he was going to do with it, then he had to shut the place down.
This is how the country is run. The country is run by magic and sellotape.
Yeah.
He should have smashed it on the floor, Pete Townsend styley.
That would have been amazing.
And then everyone would have looked and gone,
problems.
We got to go home now. Isn't it? That's incredible, James. What a ridiculously stupid system of government we have.
I mean, the only thing I'm hoping is, because he removed it and now he's put it back, in theory, does that mean he's rebooted the political system? So now, you know, just turn it off, turn it back on again. It should be fine. We'll be all right.
James, thank you very much for explaining that. I like that. I've just remembered something. I'm just going to think. I just want to think. This can be no trick. The conference was sadly born. They have the truth of this from Hero.
From Google, you mean?
They seem to pity the lady. Seems their affections have their full bent. Love me? That's what you do sometimes in Shakespeare, where you would, like, normally stop in real life. Like, it seems her affections have their full bent. Love me? Sometimes you just run two sentences on and you sound clever.
No, you don't. You wait till you wait for the full stop.
Okay. It seems her affections have their full bent. Love me? Why, it must be requited. I hear how I am censured. They say I will bear myself proudly if I perceive the love come from her. They say, too, that she will rather die than give any sign of affection. I did never think to marry. That's actually good acting.
Yeah, except you ran the it must be requited was the revelation in his head, so you need to just emphasise that a bit more.
I've got a revelation in my head at the moment. Mm-hmm. If you're not careful, it's going to come out of my mouth and probably come out of my fingers.
I'm just
as
trying
well.
To help you, mate. Because it sounds as if you don't understand what you're saying.
Totally understand. I got accepted into RADA with this piece.
Did you? Why didn't you go?
Well, because I got accepted into RADA. This is actually true. But they said I was too young and I should come back next year.
Oh, that's not accepting you then,
is it? No, but they wouldn't have asked
me. It's like when I got accepted into Cambridge and they said, would you go to a girls' college? I said no. They said, oh, never mind then.
Well, sorry, where's the proof that you got offered a place at Cambridge?
I've got a letter on my dad's.
I'd love to see that, actually.
Okay. My dad's probably got it somewhere because he wrote them a begging letter, apparently from me, asking them to reconsider.
Oh, so you got offered the place because your dad begged you, right?
No. That was afterwards.
Okay. But where's the letter?
And my dad's.
I'd love to see it.
Okay.
We're here till one. Take you an hour to get there.
What?
Takes us to 12:30. Then you can WhatsApp it. Off you go. Oh, sorry.
I've got it.
Oh, sorry. Did I call? Oh, I'm sorry. Did I call your bluff?
Not really.
Well, really.
I could probably get it tomorrow.
I don't want it tomorrow. Tomorrow's another day.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Not really interested.
No, sorry. You said you could get it tomorrow. You mean you could not one up for tomorrow?
Gosh.
You could not one up for tomorrow. Okay, I could not one up for tomorrow.
It's probably still in the envelope with the postmark. Would that be helpful?
Not really.
I mean, it was quite a while ago.
Yes.
So there aren't that many envelopes with postmarks from Cambridge University that go with a letter.
I would love to see that letter.
All right,
I'll find it. But then,
It's one of the saddest moments in my life, but OK, we can revisit that.
Oh, there's plenty sadder to come, trust me. But then I would like to send it off to be carbon dated.
Sure.
Fine.
Do you want to send it to Cambridge? I've got a name.
Yeah, Steve.
They're probably not there anymore.
No, probably not. Probably never were. That's convenient, isn't it?
Well, it was 20 years ago.
A new production of The Taming of the Shrew, which is one of the lousiest of plays.
Oh, no, that's good too.
No, I tell you why I don't like Taming of the Shrew. It's because A, I've never read it, and B, because Moonlighting did a special based on it. Remember Moonlighting? That doesn't get mentioned.
Kind of. It was the sort of thing my mum used to watch.
Yeah, my sister used to watch it. The Royal Shakespeare Company has announced a reimagining of the play, which will see women play roles written for men and vice versa. While men played women in Shakespeare's time, gender reversals have become almost commonplace in modern productions of his work. So basically, they've got a socket, right?
Yep.
And this ties in perfectly with what I was thinking the other day, right? I've always been very anti a black Bond, right? Very anti a black Bond, because he's a white guy. James Bond's a white guy. Felix's CIA friend is a black guy.
Sometimes.
James Bond is a white guy. Mm-hmm. And then just today I was driving and I thought, James Bond isn't real.
Yeah.
He's not real. And then I got it. It was like, oh, he could be anything. He's not a real person, is he? It was this amazing revelation of going, because I've done those arguments. Well, of course, James Bond can't be black. He's a white guy. We got a lady in there. Yeah, why not? Why not have James Bond played by a dog?
Tell you what he is, for sure, according to this thing in the Mail.
Yeah.
An alcoholic.
Oh!
Academics say that 007 should be provided with help to tackle his problem from MI6.
Oh!
Bond drank an average of 4.5 times in each film, a university analysis found. In a scene played by Daniel Craig, the character consumes a dangerous 24 units, says the Fun Police. Drinking led Bond to engage in risky behaviour like fights and speeding and shagging female agents.
Oh, steady on, please.
It's true. The double agent drinks a total of 109 drinks in over 24 films, an average of 4.5 per film. This is from the University of Otago, New Zealand. His record binge in The Quantum of Solace, 2008, saw Daniel Craig consume 24 units of alcohol in one sitting, which is enough to kill some people. Not Bond, he's been at it for years. Hang on, loads of pictures. Bond has drunk heavily and consistently across 6 decades, the authors of the study said. Mm. We classified him as having severe alcohol use disorder, as he satisfied 6 of 11 DSM-5 criteria for this condition. This is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, 5th edition, which is used by mental health professionals to assess disorders. Bond's love of a tipple, or his chronic alcohol use disorder, as stated by the academic, lead him to make bad choices. MI6 management needs to redefine Bond's job to reduce his stress levels, the study published in the Medical Journal of Australia said. More field support and a stronger team approach are needed so that his duties do not weigh as heavily upon him. But the thing is, they're forgetting the main thing, which is he is not a real person.
But this is what I got today. He's not real. Could be a black man, could be a black lady, could be a dude in a wheelchair. Could be a zebra.
Back in the day, there would have been absolute a furore at him being a Welshman.
Yeah. What?
Timothy Dalton.
Well.
Well, George Lazenby, where was he from? Was he Australian?
He was New Zealand, I think, wasn't he?
Well.
Tom, who was... We kicked off the show with Tom.
Yeah.
Tom's tweeted me.
Good.
Hey, it's Tom from earlier. Shall I read this? Is it appropriate to read this?
Well, if you're asking that question, let's take a break and let me have a look.
Well, no, I'll read it, and then I'm going to read it, but we'll see if it's appropriate. It's Tom from the start of the show. Hey, it's Tom from earlier. I have a letter from Cambridge in my attic. I can't reach it, though.
Why? Was that...
'cause it doesn't exist.
Oh, well, mine exists.
Oh, right. Interesting.
Tales of mystery and imagination on the radio show that does things differently.
Dolly Parton, I listen to a record all day long.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
I'm a nutjob, but not that kind of nutjob.
On Talk Radio.
Honest to God, it's the new Breaking Bad.
Oh no!
And good evening, Nick!
Well, hello, Ian. How you doing?
That's none of your business!
Oh, yeah.
I might record saying that so I can hit a button, because it's actually quite annoying having to say it all the time. But, yeah. Go on, Nick, what you got, mate?
Yeah. Huh? Well, that's just a pleasant polite way of saying hello, isn't it? You know,
well, just say
don't really want to know. It's
well, exactly.
Like, oh, how are you? You're right.
Yeah, but and that's my polite way of saying let's cut to the chase.
I went to the hospital Monday. I had a skin cancer test.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, no, it was all right. I can say that now.
What were the questions hard? It's a joke. I'm trying to lighten up a tense atmosphere here.
Yeah. No, I was just thinking, before you go, I thought, I don't want to go, And then you go, if I didn't go, my mum and my I've got a couple of sisters.
Yeah.
They'd never forgive us, like, do you know what I mean? But you feel like bottling out.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You were worried that they were going to say you got skin cancer and you're going to die in 6 months.
No, I was more worried about my mum, it's me 50-odd, saying, well, what happened? And I say, oh, I didn't go. It's like, oh, you know.
Oh, well, you're worried you're going to get told off. All right, yeah.
Well, it's good that you get these things checked out. But
of course it is.
I'm not an hypochondriac. That's what I said to the doctor. I bet they get there.
You'll be glad you're not. Apparently, it's fatal.
Well, I mean, it's not the worst of them, but these things need to get checked out.
Some of my best material. But you're all right. Are you, Nick? You got the all clear?
Like I say, it was these things. Yeah. You feel guilty. You feel guilty when you get the all clear. Say, look, before you go, I don't mean to waste your time, but. The doctor, you know, I was referred from doctors and another hospital go. They weren't like, I just turned up. I remember I changed tack a bit coming up to Christmas, but I got divorced about 15 years ago. I got two kids.
Yeah.
And the first Christmas I remember on my own, as it were,
yeah.
I went to Amsterdam with a couple of mates, like Christmas Day.
Wow. You know. Cheeky.
Yeah, and I'm not saying there's any... I've got two daughters... And then, I've got them Russian hamsters. You've got them kittens.
Is that
a euphemism?
Is that
an actual animal?
I've got an old cat and I've got two kittens that at the moment are living under the sofa and refuse to come out while I'm in that room.
Yeah, neat. Yeah, they're lovely kittens. Yeah.
I love them. Although I wish they'd stop smashing my house up. But there you go. That's I don't wish it actually. It means they're alive and they're having fun. But see,
what colour are they then?
One is black and one is primarily black with some splodges of white. And they're stunners, stunners.
Oh, they're cool, yeah. I've lived with nine cats before. Yeah, I like cats.
Yeah.
We kept them as kittens and then you just sort of gradually, but you for a few months, yeah.
What did you...
They're soothing.
Here's what everyone wants to know, Nick, is what did you do on Christmas Day in Amsterdam?
Oh, well, that's the thing you can never remember. I remember on the red light bit, it was like Clapham Junction. People rallying here and there and everywhere, you know, it was like really busy.
Yeah.
No, we just did the usual bits, you know, the grasshopper and the... It's good. We had a Christmas dinner. My mate was sick as a dog. He had this free-bird Christmas dinner from this hotel.
Now, that is a euphemism, right? Come on, give me that one. A free-bird Christmas dinner is a euphemism.
Yeah, I suppose. It's good fun. But, yeah, it's good to chill out when you have a break like that. But you've got a long journey ahead, man. I'll phone up in different stages.
Thank you, mate. I appreciate that. No, genuinely, I would appreciate it for you. Because it's weird, isn't it? It's weird. And I know that the divorce is probably going to come through. I think it's going to come through just before Christmas.
Really, that quick? Decree night.
It's been going on quite a while.
About 2 years, 2.5 years, 3 years tops, perhaps.
Yeah, something like
anyway,
that.
Anyway, yeah, but
all right.
You go through that. The first year's a virgin one, and the second year you're like a teenager again for 2 or 3 years. You'll see. Anyway,
thank you, Nick.
Watch this space. Good luck. Bye.
Cheers, mate. Good luck. Watch this space. Good luck. Hey, I meant remembered. Was it Josh who was telling us about the leaflet that came through his door? Was his name?
Yeah.
Well, I got a letter. I got four letters from Slough Council about the flat that I was living in for 2 years. Council tax. I'm thinking I'm up to date on that, and I'm out. I was out. I told them I was out. And one letter said, "You owe £64 for this." Like I said, "You owe £120 for this." "You owe £15 for this," and "You owe £50 for this." I thought, flipping it, man. I suppose I got to pay it. Jeez. And so I phoned them up and I said, "What? I'm a bit disappointed. They changed the banding."
Right.
Retrospectively. retrospectively, they changed the banding.
Should be lowering it, surely.
And I phoned them up and I said, what is this, man? This isn't great. And I said, but I'll pay it. She went, OK, let me have a look at your details. She went, oh, no, 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 that's, you don't have to pay. That's a rebate.
Oh.
That's a rebate. We lowered your council tax retrospectively. So I've got, like, about £225 coming back from the council tax.
I was going to say that.
How does that happen?
That place.
It was a dump. But
I had a nerve charging anything for that.
Oh, well, exactly. But that was... Who's ever moved out of a property and then 3 or 4 months later got four letters saying, yeah, we owe you a few quid, actually, from the council? That's incredible, isn't it? That's not bad. It's a little Brucey bonus, that is. Let's go to Mark. Good evening, Mark.
Hello, Ian. How are you, mate?
That's none of your business.
No, what it was, Ian, I've been listening to... I'm catching up on podcasts and... I listened to one about that poor chap who was living in his car.
Oh, Billy, yeah,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and then the next one was that man David, whose wife Sarah passed away. And
yep,
like,
yep.
You know, it's just like, I don't know, and I moan about the slightest things, and then you just hear something like that and you just think how lucky you are, you know?
Here's the thing. We're still allowed to moan about us not having any milk in the fridge. And we're still allowed to moan about, you know, some idiot cutting you up. We're allowed to do that because that's kind of what makes us human. And those are the things that keep us ticking over. I know exactly what you're saying. Both of those calls have kind of resonated with me and Kath in quite deep and different ways. And it does put everything into perspective. Of course it does. And it highlights the randomness of this of life. But we're still allowed to whinge about the small things.
Because it's we work within the limits of our experience, right? So, you know, if you imagine your feelings and the worst you've ever felt about something and the worst thing that's ever happened to you, well, we're all working on a different kind of spectrum, aren't we, until something terrible happens and then you realise that you're a lot stronger than you realise and all that other stuff didn't matter. But it's a bit like with my kids. At the moment, my 10-year-old is coming to me with a lot of, like, kind of almost teenage problems, like the sort of relationship thing she's having with her friends and stuff. And it's really easy to kind of disregard it and go, do you know what, you're going to be best mates tomorrow, ignore her or whatever. But to her, that's quite a dramatic thing that's happening to her. And I've got to bear that in mind, that I'm talking to someone for whom this might be the worst thing that's happened to them all year, you know?
Of course, yeah. I mean, it resonated with me because, I mean, you're both parents. I'm a parent, and I can't even imagine what it'd be like to tell my 8-year-old about that his mum wasn't there. Do you know what I mean? I can't even. When I think about the conversation I've had, I just can't do it. It just goes straight out of my head. I've really felt for him, you know.
Yeah, no. Well, that's because you're a decent bloke, Mark. That you were able to empathise with that, and you're right, and. You know, like I say, there's some family that we sort of know where they're going to have to tell their 7-year-old son soon. You know, it's random. This is the thing that hit me today, Mark. Is the randomness of it? It's random.
Oh yeah, definitely, yeah. Anyway, Ian, listen, keep up the good work, my friend.
Thank you, Mark.
Cheers.
Tutty bye. 03444991000. Hey, listen, it's not just me and Kath that do radio shows on this station. There are other people. Like this person.
Good evening, Ian. Good evening, Catherine.
Good evening to you.
Good evening again, once again.
You were speaking about Barbara Streisand earlier, Catherine and Ian, weren't you?
Yeah, I was actually thinking of you while I was watching
Barbara Streisand
documentary because she had an affair with Omar Sharif. Oh. Did you know that?
Serious?
Yeah, she gave him one.
Because they played in Funny Girl, didn't they?
Apparently he said...
Funny Girl.
He said when he first met her, he thought she was ugly and then he fell in love with her.
Really? Mm.
He's the definition of swarthy, isn't he?
Oh, he's gorgeous.
Oh, God, you that article, he's 10 times better than that.
Sorry?
He's more gorgeous than that.
Wow.
Seriously.
And he's got the old bottom tickler as well, hasn't he?
What?
What's a bottom titter?
His moustache.
Is that what it's called?
No, he hasn't got a moustache, actually. He's clean shaven.
It's not called a bottom titter. That's the sanitised version of it.
Oh, I see.
Actually, Susan, he had a moustache for a very long period of his career.
No, I think we're talking about Mr. Electricity.
I'm talking about Omar Sharif, you muppet.
But I want to talk to you quickly, because you're going soon, about...
We're going in 26 minutes, woman.
But that's quick.
You'll be going quicker, trust me.
Well, I know I will, because you're always getting rid of me. That's all right.
You'll be used to it by now with your history of men.
Oh, stop it.
Yentl, I saw in London in the 80s. It was absolutely fantastic.
So you're quite old.
Well, I'm not young.
No, no, it's fine. She was about to tell me off, and then she realised that me speaking the truth.
No, I wouldn't tell you. I only tell you off if I need to. She
52.
Played the part of a young
52.
Boy.
I know.
Shut up, Ian. I'm not going to tell you.
So,
it doesn't matter.
So, no, it doesn't matter. So, in that case, you just are you 52? Yes or no?
No.
Are you older than 52?
Oh, for goodness sake!
Yes, she's older. 56.
Catherine.
And she claims she looks like Sherry Lungi.
Catherine.
Yes, my darling.
Yentl, Barbara Streisand, she plays the part of a young man.
I've got the film. Papa, can you hear me?
Oh,
Yentl, Radio Rental.
Very beautiful. And she's very, very... Have you seen the film, Catherine?
Yes.
You've got it. Have you?
I own it, yes. I love that film.
Don't you think she's clever?
She's amazing. That film would never have happened if she hadn't persisted.
Exactly. But she, and her father was telling us she was crap all the time and hopeless, wasn't he? She didn't have a very good life.
No.
Initially. I didn't know Martha Sharif.
No, I didn't before I watched that documentary. It's a BBC 4 one. See if you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
I don't do iPlayers. I think she's got a beautiful voice.
Be quiet then and let's listen to it.
Okay.
Shut up.
Okay.
Be quiet.
Shh. Papa.
Where is it?
It's you just ruined it.